The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. And nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellfish together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah.
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress. Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
We're already having arguments. We haven't even started, and then have nothing.
And it's a true PFW argument.
They have nothing to do. It's the origins of they want their cake and eat it too. Anyway, we'll get to that later. Probably.
Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year. The gang's all here.
The East Coast of Australia, I believe it's already 2014, right Paul?
It's New Year's Eve here.
Somewhere it's got to be.
At Gillette Stadium. It's around 10:02 Eastern time. So,
like New Zealand out there, there's places where it's already 14,
yeah,
right?
Another 12 hours until.
Did you not get to sit in your seat yesterday?
What seat?
Your normal seat.
Were those headphones stretched out?
Yes.
Yeah, I had to sit there. I came in and Bob Halloran was sitting in my seat, and I was like,
I sit there.
He puts on headphones. They look like the Arch of St. Louis on his head.
You've used that already.
Absolutely did.
You have used that already.
It was on Twitter. Not everyone's on Twitter.
The Twitter.
All right. Paul's here. Andy's here. Kevin's in the booth. I'm here. Eric?
Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah? More importantly, I'm going to put a call out to our Australian listeners. 1-800-429-286. There's your toll-free number. I want to talk to somebody who's in the future.
We have a lot of Australians.
We do, and generally when I put out a call to them, they put out a call to me.
Just sure. Want to let you know, I know it's not Thursday, but Andy and I went 14-2 this week.
Booyah! Wow. Oh, that's did you hear? Too little, too late. But
I did that on. I did your thing on EEI yesterday.
You ain't lying. I still finished.
Just for PFW listeners, yep. I said something. I go, well, they are 12-4. And I didn't say anything about it. I just went on to see if anyone was
on EEI.
Yeah, would get
no, but
it.
No reaction.
No, but the two idiots didn't.
Yeah. Notice how the two idiots. Anyway, yeah.
I got to tell you something. Yeah. I listened to a little of the show. He ain't lying.
Yeah. Andy was on EEI
yesterday. I was just
kidding. Yesterday.
Paul's being mean.
Had another interview with Bill Belichick. I thought it came off really well.
He stunned me. Yeah. First time ever he's really stunned me. Did you happen to listen, Paul? Mm. The thing I did for TV, the percentages of Edelman catches going from 38 to 47 to 64 over the last three games, I asked him that. I said, you know, self-scouting week, and I read him those numbers, and I said, now, is that a concern, or do you, you know, is it too Edelman-centric, or do you just say, well, he's our number one receiver, he's going to catch passes? And Bill goes, well, you know, those are the types of things we're going to look at this week. We have those statistics, and we're going to marry them up with the situation and the videos, and I'm thinking, who are you? No. I mean, a week ago I asked about running backs, and he said, we prefer to win, Andy. Really? I mean, this is the same man. Those two answers, same
man. I think he liked...
I asked him about, you know, the decision to have Vereen return the first three or four kicks on Sunday, and then all of a sudden he goes to Blunt. Was it... Well, he's done it before.
He's done it before.
No, but I think in your case, I thought that he appreciated the fact that you'd done the homework and you knew those numbers. And he mentioned that.
How
he
much
said,
homework, though?
No, but he said...
I looked at three game books and divided catches by completion.
You know, he said, we'll look at those numbers and I'm sure that they're correct, you know, but then we'll look at the situations and so I think...
He just stunned me a little.
No, but I think you
never know.
You don't.
You just never know.
And
when
he mentioned
gonna,
the word facts. He goes, you know, those are the facts.
Right.
And now we'll look at why.
Right.
You know, so...
He was also in a really good mood.
Yeah.
It was a good interview. He was in a good mood. He was pretty forthcoming on a lot of things. I also found interesting, did you hear when he was talking about Jerry Glanville,
yeah.
how much he learned from him, special teams, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
And we joked about the later Glanville, and he was, well, this was before all that. It's almost like he didn't really like the late life Jerry Glanville,
right.
who became Hollywood and Elvis and all that stuff. He liked the early.
Well, he did mention, he was specific. He said, you know, he's one of the best assistant coaches I've worked with, you know. So, yeah, that was good. So, first show we've had since the Noah's Ark game.
I don't know if that was – I didn't hear it, so you guys might be right. I don't know if that's necessarily a shot.
I didn't take it as that.
He never worked with him as a head coach.
No, I know, but I
– You took it one way. I took it another way. Yeah. I took it as Paul did just – he was an assistant coach.
One of the best guys I ever worked with.
Right. He doesn't know what he was as a head coach.
Right.
He wasn't there. Because Bill does that a lot where he says, well, I never coached that player or I never was with him on a daily basis, so I don't know. He doesn't know what Jerry Glanville was as a head coach.
Yeah, kind of he does.
He was pretty successful.
He knows what we know.
I mean, for a clown, he was pretty successful.
Yeah, down in Atlanta, sure.
And with Houston.
Yeah. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. Everyone's getting ready for New Year's. I don't do anything on New Year's.
I don't
go out.
It's stupid.
Yeah, it really is.
I agree.
It's amateur hour.
Well, I think that we're a little old for it.
Yeah, I guess.
I think when you're young, you go
out.
But
I still think people our age go out.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
I mean, those first night type celebrations are huge.
A lot of families.
Yeah, but there are a lot of... I have a family, but I don't really want to go, so we don't go.
Yeah, there's nothing that you could do to get me to go to first night.
Yeah, I did it a few times. I don't...
I mean, I...
So if your kids were begging you to do it, you wouldn't do it?
No.
Really?
No chance.
He'd swear at him for
emphasis
right. and tell him where I've been going.
My two kids are the two most spoiled, rotten little boys that you'll ever see in their life. They would not go to first night, no matter how much they wanted to.
Yeah. No, I,
too many people, too crowded,
I agree.
Too
I mean,
cold.
What do you need that for? Take them to a movie.
Yeah, and I don't really get, I mean, there's no real payoff. There's no real anything there. It's like we all just go hang out. We see see a couple ice sculptures.
Well, I
there's
with
a
that.
Guy
there's
dancing
a,
in the street.
If you're into music and things like crafts, I
I'm
think
not.
There's a lot.
I feel the same way about the Esplanade.
Yeah.
On the 4th of July, only
oh,
without,
that's different.
Without
that's,
the weather.
That's ridiculous.
Well, it's the opposite end of the weather. It could be smoking hot when you're sitting out with 8 billion people.
Yeah, it's just I don't really have a desire
blankets
to
touching
be around
each other.
That many people with my kids. I would be really uptight about it the whole entire time.
Sure. Well, you wouldn't be able to have a
yeah,
good time.
Especially now that you know
that's what I mean.
Those effing morons were going to blow that up first.
So we have the flood game that happened on Sunday, and the Patriots earned their second
game.
He started with the Noah's Ark game.
Had to do with water. So the Patriots
submarine
their second round bye. And we talked about it on our TV show yesterday. It's tough to really figure out what this team is going forward from that game because it was just such a crazy game. You really can't make any conclusions about, okay, they've got this ready to go or they've got that ready or this isn't working. So we'll see. They get 2 weeks. They got 2 weeks to get ready for one of three opponents. And
well, the last two games now, they have run it more than they've thrown it. Would you be expecting that in a playoff game, provided that the score didn't dictate you having to do one thing or the other?
Not more necessarily. I do think they are going to continue to run the ball.
They've been in the mid 20s in passes.
I think you're
going to
see
games.
Them start with Blunt. Like they have the last few games, and he's going to run it the first few plays, and they'll go from there.
Yeah. I just we've done this with Vereen, and now I would include all three running backs. If you're going to go down a roster of your playmakers, the running backs, all three of them I would include, are somewhere in your top five, right?
Yeah.
I mean, other than Edelman and maybe Amendola-ish, I'm not even sure I include him, the running backs are your top playmakers. So I think you're doing a disservice to your offense, to your team, if you're not including them as a factor in the game.
Because of that, have the Patriots become easier to defend?
No, I think they're the same.
Well, I think they're easier to defend because they don't have a lot of talent in pass catchers.
Well, yeah, they're the same as they've been.
Wait, what do you mean?
I assume you're talking like without Gronkowski.
Well, just, you know, as a you know, Patriots have always been known as a passing team. You know,
this year in general compared to other years, are they easier to defend?
No, I'm talking about
I think it's personnel related.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they don't have any threats really on the outside. They don't have the
they've removed
ultimate
three
threat on
Pro
the
Bowl pass catchers from the offense.
The ultimate threat on the inside, Gronk, they've lost. So they're easier to defend than they have been in the past. But this year, because they've sort of gone to the running game, I don't think they're any more easy to defend than they were before.
Well, let's take the team that gave the Patriots the most trouble on offense, which was the Bengals, you know, this year. Are the Patriots, for that particular team, better equipped to beat them now than they were then?
I think it's the same. I really do.
I mean,
I think you add Vereen, and that's it, right? Everybody else played in that game, except for, you know, you didn't have Gronk. You don't have Gronk now.
And you potentially subtract. I mean, you have less receivers. I'm assuming Dobson's kind of done. He's kind of in the Talib mold for me. He skipped 3 weeks.
That could be.
Got back out there, and the first time he really pushed it to go after a deep ball down the field, he apparently re-injured it. That to me has concerns that he might just be kind of done.
So you don't think that if you believe that the Patriots are a better running team today than they were back then, you don't think that they're better equipped to beat the Bengals?
Do you think they're a better running team right now
than they were in the beginning of the season? Yes.
Yeah, I'm not. They've run more. They've given that opportunity the last 2 weeks to run more. But are they better? I don't know.
I mean, I think
now the Bengals' front is worse because they don't have Geno Atkins.
They're coming off an amazing
that washes too.
An amazing running game, no question, against Buffalo. But I agree with Andy. I think that they can run the ball pretty well. I think that the running the ball has not really been a problem to me all
okay,
year.
Okay, let me phrase it another way. Do you think
Fred's
that,
getting angry at 10 a.m.?
Do you think that this,
I don't mean it to be argumentative in any way.
Do you think an offense more geared to running is better equipped to beat the Bengals?
No.
You don't.
The Bengals are good defensively against the run. Buffalo's not.
You don't think that the Bengals' front is as good as the Bills?
No, it's better. The Bengals' front is far superior to the Bills.
Right, right.
Far superior.
The Bills are not suited to stop
the
run.
Bills are a terrible run defense. Right. They're 26th in the league against the run.
But if one of the problems is, you know, keeping Brady clean against the Bengals' front, don't you think being able to run... able to run the ball better will help that.
I don't think they can run the ball better than they did against Cincinnati the last time. I don't think they've improved the running game since the last time they played Cincinnati.
Wow.
That's where I guess I think they ran the ball fine the last time against Cincinnati. I'm not expecting them to run the ball 45 times unless Cincinnati does what Andy thinks they're going to do and Andy Dalton poops himself and they have 5 turnovers and the Patriots are up by 7 scores and they're just running the ball, running the clock out in the second half.
Well, in order to,
then they could run the ball like that. And, you know.
In order to play the Patriots, they'll have had to won a playoff game.
Indeed.
And then they get that monkey off their back. You know, so.
Or celebrate like we
Or they celebrate like it's 1999.
That's what No Sox thinks.
Yeah. Well, there's a good chance of that. They're an immature quarterback with an immature coach as an immature team.
Why is Andy Dalton immature?
I don't know. Because he has not matured.
Because you don't like him.
Do you know that
he's immature?
Do you know that Andy Dalton is number 3 all time for most touchdown passes in the first 3 years of his career behind Marino and Manning?
So?
And it's not. He's not a slouch.
Yeah. He's a middling quarterback.
But
better. Andy thinks he can't play.
I think he's improving.
But according to all that, then Joe Flacco's like the winningest quarterback in history because he's won more games.
You think Joe Flacco
stinks
too? You're very consistent. You think
they
all stink.
That was my point. According to these modern-age stats, Joe Flacco is the winningest quarterback ever because he's won more games in his first 5 years than anyone.
And you dismiss all of that.
I do.
Because you think they all stink, except for Brady and Manning.
Stink is not the word. They're all middling quarterbacks.
They're all middling quarterbacks
who make $100 million.
You don't think they're middling. You talk about
them like they're
a lot less than middling.
Well, no, I talk about them like they don't belong in the elite category.
I think you said that Joe Flacco sucked about 10 times last week. No, not in last week's game. That he sucked.
He has sucked all year.
He sucked in the game.
He has sucked all year. But I think he is capable. He has proven he is capable of being a decent quarterback.
Right. I apologize because I think
but
that
to
you
me,
think,
if you're a good quarterback, you don't put up sucky seasons.
The way
you just don't do that.
The way you've talked about him, you think he. I got the impression that you
have five multiple pick games in a year.
I thought
less
of him than that.
You sucked this year. He could not have sucked more, really, this year, in my
opinion. So is he middling or does he suck?
This year, sucks.
No, as a player.
Middling.
Okay. I thought you thought less
There's not enough quarterbacks for him not to be middling. Okay. If he sucked, then I don't know what I would call the guys who are in the bottom 10 quarterbacks.
So when someone was questioning, and I said, I think more of Flacco than most on this show, that's what I was talking about. But I thought you thought less of him than that.
No, I think he is a bottom 10 quarterback. I think he's thought of as a top 10, top 5 quarterback.
Well, he's certainly paid that way.
He's certainly paid that way.
I don't think he's thought of as
a top 5
quarterback.
The NFL has gone down a road where they're doing NBA contracts, Well, you're our starting quarterback, so I have to give you $100 million.
Well, I know, but
really?
Paul, why?
I agree. I don't think people, I agree with Paul. I don't think people think of him as elite, but isn't that bad? I mean, he's paid the highest of any quarterback.
I don't really think of it that way because I think the contracts are all phony. I think Brady is as high a paid a quarterback as there is, but on paper, he's not. Like, when you look at he doesn't have the fancy $100 million contract that Matthew Stafford has. But I think he makes more money than Matthew Stafford. He's made more money.
Sure, he's made more money.
And he gets it up front. He gets it all in different ways. But
would you say that, you know, if this play of Flacco continues, Baltimore's not getting their money's worth?
No question. Andy's right. This in terms of this season, they did not get their money's worth.
The celebration in New York for 8-8 is continuing.
They're done. They're done. Because the guy on the left of your screen does not want the guy on the right of your screen to be his coach, but his
Ryan,
owner wants him to be the coach. Right. You are guaranteed years of ineptitude.
What's can you guys fill me in on this? I don't know any of this stuff.
Itzik and Ryan are doing a press conference right now.
Itzik didn't say anything. What are you talking about?
Then how do we know? What
by all accounts, Itzik does not want Rex Ryan as his coach.
Okay, so what are those accounts?
Everybody. I mean, anybody who has sources
with
the Jets.
I'm not disputing you.
I mean, that's
really,
been known
like
for a year and a half.
I feel like I'm... Oh, okay. So nothing new.
Yeah, but nothing new.
But Woody
nothing
Johnson,
I was
by
basing
all accounts,
it on Fred
loves
saying
Rex.
What is the celebration? Let's change that.
You didn't see the video yesterday? In the locker room with the crying and the hugging, and it's like they just won the Super Bowl.
They knocked Miami out of the playoffs. They were very happy about that.
No, they were happy after I'm talking about the announcement with Ryan staying. There was crying and
they love
the players like him.
Oh my God, Paul.
Wait, they're not allowed to like a coach? They're not allowed to want to play
for a
coach?
It was unbelievable.
I don't know the stuff, so I'm going to extract myself.
I didn't see
that.
I don't know.
He's an apologist for every team except the Patriots. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I just said
I have to say to
you, I don't know the information that you're talking about. But what you just told me is not out of the ordinary.
And then you poo-pooed it.
Just so you know, your track record of letting us know the facts often don't lead you to the
facts.
Check
out the video. Check out the video.
Where is the video?
The crying.
I saw a video post game in the locker room that Matt Smith told me to watch where he said that it took us the whole season. He made fun of himself. Took us the whole season to win two in a row. I'll guarantee it won't take us that long next year. That's the only video I saw.
The guarantees are back for Rex.
I guarantee
I know.
I like it. He's got his balls back. He's ready.
Right. It's not going to take us the whole season to win two in a row next year. Is that the video that you're talking about?
We won two games in a row, and I got, you know.
See, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
This is the stuff that I didn't hear on the video that he's talking about. This is why I get made fun of for being an apologist, because you make stuff up.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless it's about the Patriots. Then you make up stuff on the other way.
Now you guys are calling out each other's characters.
They didn't have a celebration for being 8-8.
No, they had a celebration for Ryan staying with the team.
They're happy. Just like in Cleveland, all the players are pissed that they got rid of their coach. DeQuell Jackson, did you hear what he said about Jimmy Haslam?
I did.
Is that good?
No.
Would that be better if your players were all pissed off?
But I'm just saying it's a celebration in New York
for
continually downward.
Okay.
When that happened with Pete Carroll, 8-8, they got rid of him.
See, but that's untrue. What did they finish last year?
They were just as bad.
No, they weren't. They were far worse. Far worse. They won 5 games, I believe, the previous year.
Yeah,
5 or 6 games.
Are the Jets getting better?
Yes.
Okay. And are they going to get better with Geno Smith?
Listen, I don't know how good Geno Smith is. I think of Geno Smith the way Andy thinks of Joe Flacco and Andy Dalton. I think he sucks.
Okay, so how are they going to get better?
If he gets better, they will get better.
You just said he sucks.
I think that.
Right.
Does that make me right? All of a sudden, what I think is meaningful?
And I asked you.
No, I still don't care what you think.
Thank you, Andy.
I asked you, do you think they're going to get better?
I think the Jets got better with a terrible quarterback.
Are they going to get better?
But wouldn't they get better if they added a receiver and a tight end, somebody who even a bad quarterback can throw to?
Well, I don't know. If you have a bad quarterback, it's tough to
And by all accounts,
they just won 8 games with a bad quarterback.
Santonio Holmes, because he's the worst person on the team.
And by the way, 3 years ago, they won 11 games with an even worse quarterback.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty
he wants
happy
to fight you.
I'm pretty happy that Rex is back.
That's what it all comes down to. So why don't you just say that up front, and then we all I understand what you're talking about.
I just think it's funny the celebration that's going on in New Jersey.
Yeah, and I just wanted to have what you were talking about the celebration. That's why I thought I was missing something. Yeah. Did Itzik say something controversial that sort of combated what Woody Johnson said?
No, by all accounts, Woody Johnson is aligned with Rex GM.
I agree with you
and
on
to
that.
Me, from a Patriots perspective, you are guaranteed another 3 years of success because I say it. You're on the same page internally. Other teams aren't. They are not on the same page because you have two guys elbow to elbow right now who I don't think want to sit at the same podium with the same Jets logo behind them.
And I agree with Andy on that part. I just
that's good for you.
If there was, something like that came out of one of these press conferences, or if there was something that Idzik said that sort of alluded to, because his contract is up, right?
Yes. Well, this is his last year. They're talking
about
extending.
So they need to extend him
through 15, a 1-year extension.
2014 is still the current contract.
Oh,
2014.
So this wasn't the last year.
No, not the last year.
Okay.
But he's now a lame duck 1-year coach contract.
So they're going to add a year to his contract.
But they're talking about adding a year.
Okay. I thought he was up.
If I were him, I'd say no.
And they were going to give him a 1-year deal. And I said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
No, they're not.
No.
But so no.
I'd say no if I was Rex. I got my big balls out. We'll see.
I wouldn't be terribly stunned to do that, but I will tell you this, Fred, and I know that you what you feel of Rex Ryan. I, as a Patriots fan, and you know how much I hate the Jets and how much I hate Miami. Those two teams, I would love to see them make coaching changes because I think the guys that they have are okay. They're not great, but I think there are far more. Andy likes to say there's no quarterbacks. I think there are far worse coaches in the league than Joe Philbin and Rex Ryan.
I think
far worse.
I think Philbin is a better head coach than Ryan. I think Ryan is a better defensive coach overall, you know, and I think I actually defended him on Twitter against a couple people yesterday.
And
I was actually defending Rex Ryan, believe it or not. Somebody said, oh, he's not that good, you know.
If they can keep Morningweg, which they've had a lot of instability at offensive coordinator and ineptitude with Brian Schottenheimer, I think that they could be better offensively. You cannot get a core. That is the worst core of skill position players in the entire league, Jacksonville included.
My problem with Rex as a head coach is his volatility. I mean, he's so up and down. You can't have that as a head coach. Your head coach is your CEO. He has to be, you know, even keel. He can't be, you know, making these bold predictions one game and then, like, you know, crying and the next game.
Yeah, the only thing is, since he stopped doing that, they haven't been very successful. That's the only thing that I would say about that.
I think you're painting with a broad brush. I think Dick Vermeil was a good coach who was as emotionally roller coaster-ish as anybody. I think there's a lot of ways to do it.
They're getting better, but it's been 3 years now since they made the playoffs.
Yeah, but Dick
he doesn't do that stuff
go
anymore.
In front of the media and make these proclamations.
Oh, so you just don't want to be boastful. Yeah. That's what you're saying.
I think he just gets too high and he gets too low.
See, I don't agree. I just think there's different ways to do it. Yeah. And as I said, I think Dick Vermeil was as polar opposite from, say, Bill Belichick as you can get.
Oh, I'm not saying you have to be like...
He went to multiple Super Bowls. He was clearly a good coach.
Yeah, I
you just don't like the bold proclamations.
I think it puts too much... It's not good for his play.
I would be more concerned as a New York fan of his seemingly ignoring the offense. Like, he's... To me, he's a head coach that doesn't really have anything to do with the offense.
Right.
And I think that's a black mark on his coaching ability. He needs to be more involved in the offense. Now,
well, unless he's not good at it. Unless, and he might know what he's good at. And he says, look, I'm going to hire an offensive coordinator.
If that's true, then you're right. And he's not a good head. He's not head coach.
Well,
stay as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I don't.
Because you need to have a say in everything if you're the head coach. You need to be in charge of everything. You don't need to be like Bill and be an expert on absolutely everything. That's why Bill's the best head coach. But you need to have a say. You need to be able to help the offense in some way.
And
he doesn't seem like he's part of that.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's unfair that they said, well, he hasn't developed a quarterback. Well, he's 0-1. He had Sanchez and he never developed him. We'll see what happens with Geno Smith.
I also like to know, who develops quarterbacks? Where are these people that miraculously develop quarterbacks? I see a lot of people that have one quarterback. But show me that you can develop quarterbacks. Has Bill developed quarterbacks?
No, like, but there's
he
some...
He had Tom Brady for 13 years.
No, obviously he...
I just think there's such this limited
guys. He had Brady,
guys.
But I think
but
there is
some guy... Like, don't you look at, like the way that Matt Flynn played for Mike McCarthy as compared to, like, he flamed out in four other cities? Like, that he is seemingly a little bit better with quarterbacks than some guys?
I guess.
I mean, even if you wanted to say...
Would like to have seen Matt Flynn play... extended period or have to be the guy there.
I mean, that's just one that popped in the top of my head. I think there are other guys that have a reputation. I mean, Andy Reid has a reputation of being pretty good offensively. There's some guys, I mean, even if you want to give Bill credit for Castle's year, Castle's best year, well, his second best year was probably 08 when he came in and, you know, and he played for the
Patriots.
I just
think it's such an overused term. Develop a quarterback.
I think coaching is teaching.
You know who developed quarterbacks? That guy from Cal Tedford.
Jeff Tedford.
From Cal.
Cal Tedford.
Jeff Ked from Jeff. But I think that term.
What a train wreck.
That term is thrown around too much. Like, you know, John Gruden's a great offensive coach. He never developed a quarterback. That's where he failed miserably.
But he was considered to be extremely hard to play for because of that.
And
he was very demanding on his quarterbacks.
Andy Reid might be a guy, I guess you could argue, sort of developed.
Funny, because as I was saying that, I was talking to myself out of that one.
See, I like that one better than.
Yeah, I think I can see where some people would be better at, you know, nurturing a quarterback and teaching them and playing to their skills and getting the most out of them than others. And that's what it's all about when you talk about developing quarterbacks. You're a teacher and you find out, what's this guy good at? How can I accentuate those things and, you know, hide the negatives? And that's what it's all about, you know, instead of like, you know, trying to jam a quarterback and make him do it. Maybe that's why Gruden was never successful, because he had this idea of what a quarterback should be, and no matter what the individual was that he's looking at, he tried to make him that guy.
And we had that in our paper. Was it the Gannon who – Rich Gannon quoted him on saying, you know, if you can't go through your fifth read, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's why you're a terrible quarterback's coach. To develop him, you need to start with a guy who is raw and only has one read, and then bring him to two reads, and then bring him to three reads.
Boy, Shanahan?
Yeah. Oh, it's Shanahan, right. Yeah. I also think more like, to me, you could argue Josh McDaniels has developed quarterbacks, quote unquote, because I think he has found different ways to win with different quarterbacks, including for a short stint in Denver.
Kyle Orton.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Had a great year.
So, and there's probably more guys that in my opinion are either quarterbacks coach, offensive coordinators who do it, then earn their head coaching job and maybe only have one of those. I think the term is thrown around too much.
I think the term is thrown around too much, but I understand, because I think it's a little bit misleading. I don't think people would consider Belichick. That's one of the things, but because he's only had one quarterback.
Right.
He hasn't had to do it. Whereas other guy, you know, like Jim Harbaugh, Alex Smith was really bust city when he got there, and he turned him into a better than serviceable quarterback. Then he decided he could do better, and he's turned Kaepernick into, you know, better than Alex Smith was. But he had an opportunity to do it with two different guys for, right, you know, lengths of time.
Well, let me
who's
ask
to
you
say
question.
Belichick won't take the next guy that comes out and turn him into another Brady? I mean,
you know,
or something
Ryan
like that.
Ryan Mallett, okay? I'm not saying he's being nurtured to be the successor to Tom Brady, but I'm sure he's getting coaching, you know, in the event that he had to play. So if all of a sudden, you know, the Browns and Lombardi said, you know what, we are going to take Ryan Mallett, or some team took Ryan Mallett and he had a good season with them, would you say that he had been, you know, you could make the conclusion that, yeah, there was some development going on in New England some way, somehow.
Yes, I would. And that's why I look at Green Bay the way I do, because Green Bay did that to a lot of guys under Favre.
But then I get into the question, is it just a West Coast offense thing?
That's kind of what I think.
Because Walsh is also a guy that's had multiple quarterbacks that became – so now you were just saying, well, the West Coast offense is an offense that if you're a decent quarterback, you can perform in.
Yeah, because you got Bill Walsh, and people just think about Montana and Young, but it was, you know, Elvis Gerbach, who was pretty good. Steve Bono even had some reasonable success.
And all the guys you've brought up are either Green Bay or Philadelphia through Andy Reid. It's all West
all
Coast
same,
offense.
That's all Bill Walsh.
So maybe the West Coast offense.
I would credit Bill Walsh for all of that.
You know, Hasselbeck goes to Seattle, Coast.
And
it's all West Coast.
And you can make the argument that Alex Smith is having one of his best years ever under you know, Andy Reid.
Well, we brought up Andy Reid as a guy
who's
been successful at that.
No, I know you
could make the argument that Andy Reid.
No, I said Alex Smith. I know Andy Reid.
But he's
Reid.
With Andy Reid, and it's the West Coast offense, and it's all the same crap.
But there is something to say about that, that a guy that understands the position inside and out.
Like Bill O'Brien. Is he a quarterback developer based on what he did with a college? Matt McGloin took a guy, and you could argue made him a pro career
let me tell you
in
something.
A season.
There was a 0% chance that Matt McGloin was going to even be in a camp after his junior year. It was what he did
now,
Bill O'Brien, and people said, wow, that's a pro-style offense. He had a successful
And now
year.
Bill
Look
O'Brien could go to
he
Houston and get another guy. And, you know, he worked with Brady. He didn't develop him, but he remained successful. He didn't hinder Brady. Are we going to say Bill O'Brien is a quarterback guru?
I did a hit last night on a radio
of
station
what?
In Houston.
Oh, yeah.
And it was all Bill O'Brien talk. And, you know, not surprisingly, as you guys know, I love Billy O, so I gave him a big time endorsement.
Bill afterwards.
I sent him a big time endorsement.
Yeah.
But I just said, you know, it's like everybody else that's looking. You need to figure out how you're going to get the quarterback. You know, do you do it with the first pick? I mean, do you draft? Is Teddy Bridgewater that guy? I don't think that he's not a guy to me.
Yeah,
I would take with the first overall pick. Or is Case Keenum worth developing? I also
can you
don't
take a quarterback
that.
First overall with a torn ACL?
Sure. Especially if you have Case Keenum. Just play Case Keenum this year and let Mettenberger rehab and be fully ready. You don't want to pull an RG3 on him
right.
and have him out there as a rookie not ready to play. That doesn't, I don't think, really help anybody.
We should probably talk Patriots.
Yeah.
We should. But,
you know, Josh
but
McDaniels
good,
could leave.
Good
I was
going to
say, you brought up coaches, and you know there were, what, six coaches that lost their jobs so far? And
I think there's a chance for a couple more, too.
Yeah, in addition to Bill O'Brien, Josh McDaniels.
What are you hearing?
Well, I mean, I just think Tennessee, I guess, was having some organizational meetings about Munchak. I'm not sure.
And Philbin's not off the Hudson.
Yeah, I don't
yet.
Think Philbin is scot-free.
Jeffrey, you know, when your owner says, I've got a lot to think about.
Yeah.
You know, that would get me worried.
Retro.
And let's face it, anytime there's all kinds of coaching moves made and Oakland hasn't done one yet,
right.
They're always on the table. I think there's a chance there's a few more.
Well, one of the, you know, Josh McDaniels is rumored for the Browns job.
And Browns have reportedly asked permission to interview him.
Yeah. And supposedly he's interested in talking now. Like, remember last year at this time, Josh said to everybody that he will not interview for any jobs. He's not.
Not that anyone was asking.
I don't really remember that, but I'll believe you.
Oh, yeah. No, he put out, matter of fact, it sparked the whole succession plan talk. Well, right. You know, he's not interested in a job anymore because, you know, Bill's at the end of the line and he's going to leave and Josh is going to take over. And Fred said, it's not his decision.
I buy it.
Do you remember that?
Yep.
I do. I remember.
One of my favorite
it's
friends.
It's not his decision.
One of my favorite friend lines of all ever, and it's 1,000% accurate. It's not Bill or Josh's decision to make.
Right. If you were Josh McDaniels, would you go to Cleveland?
No.
Andy doesn't think Cleveland's a very good job.
Too many cooks in the front office.
Yeah, and you got to. Don't you have an owner that might go to jail or
yep.
something?
That's all problematic to you.
That would be the biggest problem for me.
Lack stability.
I don't think the roster is terrible. I mean, obviously it's not very good either. But I think there's some pieces there that you could work with.
If it weren't for ownership and the quarterback situation, I might include that in the group of Detroit and Houston.
That's one thing I caught yesterday. How many Pro Bowlers does Cleveland have?
I don't know. They
said
out
nine. There's no way they have nine Pro Bowlers.
Didn't seem like it, but I don't know.
See, that's one of those you got caught like me.
I don't know.
But like I was just thinking off the top of my head, they probably had like Joe Thomas, Josh Gordon, and Joe Hayden.
Sure.
That's the only three I could say. Well, those three guys had to be on the Pro Bowl team.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who else?
I don't know.
Strippers?
Yeah.
I mean, they were just throwing out they had nine Pro Bowls, and I'm like, no, there's no way they had nine Pro Bowls.
Certainly didn't sound right to me, but I wasn't convicted enough to
And if they did, they had fake ones, like the punter made it and
But
you know,
he didn't. It was the Rams
return
punter,
guy
right?
made it or whatever. I have no idea.
Oh, wait, no, there's two punters. That's what they should do. Just have one punter.
He just punts a
Yes.
Automatic punter?
It's not a stupid idea. You thought for a second it was a stupid idea,
no,
and
I
then
didn't.
As you said it, you said it's not a stupid idea.
I didn't think
now,
it was
he'd
a stupid
Now, he'd have to
idea.
Wear the ugly orange shirt and the ugly green shirt at the same time.
I actually liked the idea, but then I immediately talked myself out of it, saying, why should the punters be punished? They should get two guys that get recognized.
Oh, I don't see it as punished. I see it as like you're unique. You're like, wow, he's so good.
No, what
he's
I'm saying
the only
is,
punter.
But the second best punter doesn't get to be a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Why? You know, why does the second
if
best
you can't
everything
hit
else
the guy,
get to be?
He doesn't get deserve to go to Pro Bowls. Dean Blandino.
All right. So you want to talk?
You can
Patriots.
Hit him. You just don't have to lower his lights.
No, he's protected. He's defenseless throughout the play. He can hit me, but I can't hit him.
As I said, Dean Blandino. Causes more controversy in his explanations because
yes.
he doesn't explain it right.
Yes.
You can block him. You just can't give right. him a concussion because you give him a cheap shot with your helmet in the jaw.
I still haven't
that's
seen
what,
the play.
That's the part of it that was wrong. There was all he had to do was stand there. What do you call it? Stock blocking, right?
Yeah.
You kind of would have been right. the same
just
thing.
Just get in the way.
Well, he goes, what do you call it?
No, because right. I never heard that term.
What does every wide receiver coach in the country call it? From high school straight up through the pros.
I'm sorry. When I played high school football, we didn't have a wide receivers coach.
You were in the down era of Everett. see my two Dartmouth High Indians? I didn't even know. The kid from BC has
still
started,
the Indians?
Started 15
Are you still
games
the Indians,
this year.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. How do they get away with it?
Well, they don't call them a slur. That's why.
Okay. Didn't think
Most
was,
places have
I didn't
changed.
Think we were. I didn't think that that was a.
It's gone big green.
I didn't think that was a proper term anymore to call a Native American an Indian. I thought that was
I
a
think
slur.
It was. It was in the early stages of the PC movement. It was seen as bad, but now they've realized like things that Redskins are worse.
Yeah, American Indian. I think. I don't know.
I always thought you were supposed to call them Native Americans.
Let's skip past the PC police. I'm the least PC guy.
My
point was, Sean Sylvia is starting for Boston College in some bowl game. Every game this year, and then he is getting on a plane to go watch Arthur Lynch play on New Year's Day.
Nobody cares.
And Jordan Todman is going to the both games.
Oh, well, he's got nothing else to do.
All right, so Patriots, state of the Patriots.
Neither do the Patriots. He could have had a bye and had nothing to do.
He had a great year for them, Todman. You know, a guy who is sort of hanging on the fringes, I think he might have.
He earned a second shot. So by the way, did you also know that LeGarrette Blount's kick return average went from 23 to 29 thanks to Sunday? Like, the final stats now, you're flipping through the pages in like 5 years. Wow, he averaged 29. He sucked.
That's the problem.
Until he had two, he sucked.
That's why.
That's the problem with stats.
Right.
Well,
especially
in football.
But that's why you really need to look when, you know, and every week when we do this, the special teams, I always look at the returners and I look at the averages. And then I look at the long. And if it's a guy who's averaged 29 with a long of like 34, I'm like, well, they have an excellent return game. But if it's a guy who's averages 29 and then he has a 101-yard touchdown, then I look at the field position and see where their average drive start is and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, well,
but like,
he had one big return.
Same thing that we said. Well, you know, Leon Washington coming from Seattle led the NFC with 29 per return last year. Well, LeGarrette Blount had 29 per return this year. Woo, same thing.
Right. Yeah, stats can be very, very deceptive in football.
Yeah, I had one of my friends who was like ripping me. Over the week, you still think it was a bad idea to have Blount on kick returns? I'm like, yeah.
So did Bill until he got a hot hand and put him back out there because Bill took him off.
Because he broke two, all of a sudden, you know, the previous 30 were
because he
aberrations.
Broke two in like adverse conditions where no one could cut except the runner because the runner knows where he's going.
And did you see Bill's description of one of them? And I haven't gone back to look at the replay, but I want to say Abner. Somebody made a block that hit one guy, tripped up another guy, and a third guy fell. That like he took out three guys on one block,
right?
Which may or may not have been rain, wet, slippery related. And I mean, it's sort of circumstantial.
It was hard to get your footing in certain parts of the field. And Brady mentioned it. It's the first time that he saw like water
standing
actually
water.
Build up.
Oh yeah, they all said that. They've never seen. You know, Danny Aiken said that you could have a lot of rain before fake fields puddle up.
Right, because the drainage is really good.
There were a lot of issues. I think Bill's talked a lot about the tackling and, you know, these big guys. They're slippery. You can't grab anything. Even though you grab them, you just kind of slide right through.
It looked like a movie. You know when you watch the movies and they have, like, the ridiculous rain and it's like every step it's like slosh, psh, and you see the splash. And you're like, I never played in a game like that. Well, Sunday there was
a
game like that.
Had that been the old field?
Oh,
my
God.
The Richard Seymour field.
It would have been like
five inches of mud.
It would have been like that Baltimore game.
It would have been awesome.
Do you remember that Baltimore game?
I actually played in a game like that.
Oh, did you? On the Cape?
Actually, New Jersey.
Oh, because down the Cape, the fields would have been too good.
They had field turf in the mid-70s on the Cape.
But and that gets back to our original thing. It's just hard to make conclusions coming off that game. Like, oh, they've got this taken care of, or this isn't working, because it was just such a crazy game.
Just a news item that we haven't had a chance to talk about because of the long extended span without us. The Patriots Pro Bowlers, Tom Brady, Logan Mankins, Matthew Slater and Aqib Talib for the Patriots, four Pro Bowlers. I was a little surprised they had so many. I thought there was a chance they could get shut out. I thought Slater might be their best shot. I thought Gostkowski might have a shot. I was a little bit surprised that the other three, Talib kind of, to me, rode almost a half a season to get into the Pro Bowl because I thought he was only a Pro Bowler early on before he got hurt. Mankins probably kind of wrote his name into the Pro Bowl, and I think to some degree Brady wrote his name. His statistics aren't there in terms of being Pro Bowl numbers. They're giving him credit for sort of what he's done.
Getting through with very little. Sure. All deserving.
Sure, I have no problem.
You know, every year you seem to have a snub or two. Any snubs this year for the Patriots?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I mean, saying that I thought they could have had none, and you got four, it's hard to – I know a lot of people, Chandler Jones – no, he doesn't really deserve it. Rob Ninkovich, no, he's not even.
You have to look at who else got in and is, you know, so.
Gostkowski. I mean, those would be the ones the names that people have thrown out. I don't really think any have a strong argument.
Yeah, Gostkowski certainly had as good a year as a kicker can have. I think that he.
Well, he didn't miss three kicks.
Yeah, and.
So it's not as good as. As good as has a meaning.
But well, without wanting to get down the semantic road. I think that his misses and his makes were probably more impressive than most.
His misses and his makes.
I mean, he only had three misses. He only had one of those that was,
sub 50 or
I think it was 43.
Yeah.
But then he missed a 48 and a 50-something, 55, 56.
55.
And he made several others from beyond 50. Mm-hmm. It seemed like he made a lot of kicks beyond 50. And,
oh, he did. He had those two 53-yarders. They won.
And this year, he made some really, really big kicks. It's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'd be, without doing the research, I'd tell you, every single week I looked at the kickers and it was amazing. They all only missed two all year.
Well, that's why in this day and age, if it's like 48, that's a gimme.
Right.
Really? Is
there,
it a gimme?
Yeah. There and will that's be why, like, who kicks a 70-yard field goal eventually.
And people say, oh, he missed a long one. 43 to me is not a long kick. You know, that Ryan Succop one the other day, 41. They were like, well, it wasn't a chip shot. Yeah, no, it's a chip shot.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry. 41 should be made every time.
Right.
In this day and age.
Yeah.
Not with the old flat shoes. Straight on.
But I think that without doing all the research and seeing how many 50-plus yarders everybody else made, he seemed to make important kicks from long distance all year long.
Plus, he was good on kickoffs for the most part when he didn't kick it out of
everybody's
bounds.
Everybody's good at that. When he didn't kick it out of bounds. Okay, he didn't have as good a year. He did have that one kick that went out of bounds.
That was
Love
bad,
you, Steven.
Yeah, that was his bad game of the year, that Miami game.
Yep.
All right, web radio at
Patriots. All right, got a burp.
508-298-0398.
Yeah, when he's not kicking out
the Ace Ticket Hotline. The Patriots divisional game has been announced. That's January 11th, Saturday night at 8:15.
Against?
We don't know. Who do you think?
I don't know.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, you think Cincinnati's going to
hold
serve at home?
We'll beat San Diego.
But everyone's talking about the hot team right now is San Diego. Really?
Well, I think part of it is Rivers has had a good year, and the old school people like me say, Dalton sucks. I'm not sure if Luck's quite there yet. I'll just go with the hot quarterback. And Rivers has had a good year. I don't actually think they're an all that good football team. But Mike McCoy showed balls. They're going to go for it. Rivers is good.
What do you think about people who say, you know, the Chiefs had nine or more starters that didn't even play, and yet
Something like 20 out of 22?
Something like that.
It was something ridiculous.
They still gave them a tough game.
Yeah, that's why I would dispute that they're hot.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Did they have no injured players? Like, because that's what I was thinking when I was reading their inactives, and it's like Alex Smith, Tramaal Charles. Like, it's all their, like, are there guys that are dressing that are injured? Are there guys, did they not have 46 guys on the sideline?
I don't know.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't look that close.
No, but don't you think they must have
a
special teams guy who's hurt, who pulled a hammy and couldn't play that week, and you know, they filled their inactive list with all these big names.
But some of those are hurt, right?
Yeah.
Like Ali.
He played recently and then got hurt. I just thought they must have got more guys than...
No, I understand what you're saying there. Like, you know, okay, so Alex Smith wasn't going to play. Why did he need to be inactive?
Right.
You know, but...
Wasn't there a guy who might have actually been hurt?
I don't know. But I like what Bill says about that, too. I'm not a big believer in the whole hot team thing.
Yeah,
heading into the playoffs. I think it's you got to play well in the playoffs. You know, I think that just because the Patriots lost 2 weeks ago doesn't mean they're not hot, you know, when it comes to the postseason.
I almost poked Bill yesterday, by the way, because he goes, you know, everybody's 0-0 entering the postseason. Well, you told me you're in the second round, so technically aren't you 1-0? But I didn't think he'd like it.
Of the
between the two of you, you're always just trying to like see what we can get in trouble for.
Of the Colts, Chiefs, and Bengals,
Bengals.
Who do you think poses the toughest opponent for the Patriots?
Chiefs.
Yeah, we don't.
I've been beating that drum too much.
You're sticking with the Chiefs.
I'm sticking with the Chiefs. I think it's a bad matchup,
and I think the Bengals.
You think the Bengals?
Yeah, but I definitely respect the Chiefs. Like Andy says, I think those two teams are good. The Colts would be the team I would rather see. Although I think they pose problems too.
I think that's what makes this year's playoffs great. There is no clear
Every
favorite.
Crappy team has a chance.
I mean, Seattle at home, you know, you have to look at them favorably. And even in the Broncos, but every team can knock off any other
And
team.
I don't put Seattle in any different category either, because I think they've been thoroughly unimpressive, especially lately.
They've petered.
I don't think offensively. I think defensively they're pretty good, but I don't think offensively they do anything to scare you. So
no, but I don't put them. Though. That's huge.
They just lost there 2 weeks ago, and then they were in a struggle this week until late.
I don't know.
Bad teams. Well, Arizona's not a bad team,
Make playoffs.
No, I
saw Pro Football Talk was taking up your argument this morning, Paul, about how it's not really fair that. Not, I don't know about fair, but it's not really right that there's a lot of divisional winners hosting teams with better records.
Yeah, and I don't think it's like this huge epidemic that needs to be like addressed or anything. But to me, I think any league should want to have its best teams have the best chances to advance. And I think that if you want to have division play determine playoff teams, I would disagree with that too. But if you wanted to do that, okay. So why do we have division play? Well, we have division play to determine the four division winners are in the playoffs, regardless of how bad. Right. Fine. I don't understand why they then have to not only get a division crown, but a high seed and a home game out of it.
Right. So just reseed it once the season's over.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just seed it by record.
By record.
Okay. So the AFC West and the AFC South, they're guaranteed to make the playoffs. Okay. I'm all right with that. But if their record indicates that they should be seeded sixth as opposed to third, then I don't have any problem with that.
But doesn't everybody do that? Doesn't the NBA do that? That the division winner is one of the top.
But they don't get home.
Oh.
They get the seed, but they don't get the home court.
Well, what does that even mean?
So, in other words, instead of being seeded by record, you're seeded the four division. Well, now it's three, I think. Again.
Yeah.
The divisions. So you get the third seed and play the sixth seed, but you wouldn't have home court. Unless they changed it again, that's the way it was.
Some breaking news. LeGarrette Blount, AFC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance in the victory over the Bills.
Okay, very good.
I think you get hosed. He should have been Special Teams Player of the Week, too.
Check out Bevo. Yeah.
Did you watch this game last night?
That's big. I watched a little of it.
Did you see when the field goal hit the upright and the play-by-play guy goes, boy, you couldn't be much closer than that and miss, and the color guy goes, yeah, hit the upright, and he goes, oh, it did. I didn't even see it. He admitted on the air that he hadn't seen it hit the upright. And it was one of those old school big voice guys. I don't know who it was.
What was the whole point of it? Couldn't be much closer.
I don't know. But why would you even comment if you didn't see it?
But my point is, and this is going to get into an Andy Hart semantic thing, but if it couldn't get much closer, but you didn't know it hit the upright, right. Then it could have gotten closer.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he was doing, but it was embarrassing.
If he didn't realize it hit the upright, he just thought it was just wide. Then it could have gotten closer. He could have hit the upright.
I'm just thinking, I pay you to work 3 hours when you're supposed to describe what you see and
that
you're not paying
attention.
That
game was a men among boys, by the way.
Is there an uglier person than Case McCoy? He is one ugly mofo.
Wow.
Did you see him?
And what?
He's got like a little face on a big head or something.
Not very good.
Terrible.
Why?
Terrible.
Because at that position,
throwing pick sixes and, ugh. Well, part of the problem is you can't just recruit people's little brothers. Oh, I'm going to, McCoy to Shipley worked at one point, so I'm going to do McCoy to Shipley again. Well, that's why you're getting run out of town, you dink.
Wow.
That's Andy Hart.
Going like this, walking off the field after getting blown out.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email
too.
Address.
He was kind of cantankerous.
Yeah. You know, you've had a tough run making $5 million a year
for
so long.
Plus, you know, not that you can just go with the be-all, end-all with all those recruiting rankings and stuff, but you see, like, they had like 5 years of recruiting classes that are like ESPN top 10 ranked classes, right. And then they had their records and like all the other teams that are around them. It's like, you know, Alabama, Ohio State, you know, all these teams that just dominate, and you're getting the same caliber of player, and you're going like, I mean, you lose 4 or 5 games at a place like Texas. That's like going 0-12. Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, aren't all these good quarterbacks guys who Texas wouldn't let play quarterback? Don't I feel like that's always the story? I don't know who specifically, yeah. But like Manziel and Winston,
well,
and these guys.
Mariota.
Well, you can play safety for us. You can play corner for us. But we got McCoy. We got like him play quarterback.
Little brother.
We got this little ugly kid who can't play.
Little ugly kid. What's his face from Oregon? I heard them say last night. Marcus Mariota he's from Texas.
I feel like
they didn't recruit him.
Yeah, I feel like half the guys in the country.
He's a terrific player. Terrific college player. Anyway, I don't know how great he'll be in the pros, but. He's a great combination of speed and throwing ability.
Watched a little bit of him last night. Did you see when the guy palmed his head?
No call!
But he didn't grab his face mask.
But you can't just hit a guy up in the head, though.
I think you can. You can tackle him by the helmet.
Wow, that was tough.
I thought that was an example of those sticky gloves where I say, I don't know how they can't catch. No, I think the sticky glove grabbed the helmet, and he just pulled him down.
I thought he might have had him up here, too, though.
I think he just did a sticky
glove. You're not
supposed
to be able to grab that opening of the
helmet.
No,
you can't grab the opening.
He didn't
face mask. I think he palmed his head.
He didn't face mask him, but... To me, that's one
Phil
of those.
Phil Knight wasn't happy either, sitting in the box for Oregon. You see that?
That's
he
one of yours.
He sits in the coach's box for Oregon.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta block your nose and do what you gotta do. But
they
that's
have
one
ugly
of yours,
uniforms
though,
again, thanks to Nike.
Now you always say like, why do we have to have specific rules for all these different things? Unnecessary roughness. You know it when you see it. Don't tell me that you didn't think that when that happened.
I didn't. I was okay with it. I didn't think it was unnecessary. Because to me, unnecessary.
He threw him down by the head.
But I don't think he could have tackled him without doing that. Therefore, it's not unnecessary. It's necessary. Unnecessary means you have another way to do something. It's like when Ngamankan Su can tackle a guy, but instead of just tackling him, throws a forearm into his kidney to try to send him to the hospital.
Now, in the NFL, it would have been automatic.
Unnecessary.
Right? The NFL, it would have been automatic because you can't hit the quarterback in the head.
Correct. Although that rule needs to change, by the way. If they ever do go read option, you can't go with you can't touch a quarterback.
What's going on, Eldridge?
Not much. Just happy about the
Saints so mad.
A little bit. I love the way they played the Ravens and the Bills, okay, but I got a question for you. I was watching ESPN last night, and I forgot the commentator's name, but they asked a question. Is the Patriots a sleeping giant? And they answered yes. Everybody should fear them.
Who was it on ESPN that was being asked that question?
Someone who hasn't been around the last 15 years, I guess.
No. They're like young announcers. It was a black lady and a dude. I can't think of his name.
Black lady and a dude.
Yeah, because I was in Kentucky coming back down the road, so I watched a little ESPN.
Wait a minute, you were watching ESPN in your truck?
Yeah, ESPN on
the
go.
TV in my truck. Yeah.
I got wait a minute, you were driving?
No, at the truck stop.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking of a, 22-car pileup, thanks to you.
No, at the truck stop. But the lady, she's a Patriots fan. She said most definitely. The guy was saying no because if they play a fierce team like Cincinnati or Carolina, they can't handle the rush or the defense. So my thought was there was part of it's true, part of it ain't true, but I don't know. What's your thought?
I don't think the Patriots are a sleeping giant. I think,
they're a competitive football team.
Yeah,
they've shown resiliency. They've shown the ability to win. But they, like every other team, have flaws, and they have things that could be targeted and could be reasons why you go home in the first playoff game you play.
Yeah, and they're not going to take anyone by surprise. They're not going
to... Yeah, that's why, like, a sleeping giant to me is someone sort of flying under the radar, who scrappy team that people aren't really taken very seriously. I don't look at the Patriots like that.
Are the Packers a sleeping giant because Rodgers is back?
No way. People know that he's capable
of beating
you.
Well, that's what I think.
Just like people know the Patriots are capable of beating you.
I don't think there's any sleeping giants this year because I think everybody thinks everybody has a chance and everybody has a flaw.
And no one, we always talk around here about who scares you. Well, there's no one out there that wants to play the Patriots in the playoffs.
Right.
Just because they're the Patriots.
Yeah, to me, a sleeping giant is someone who hasn't played to their great potential yet. They just haven't got it going. But when they get it going, oh, my God, they're dominant.
And I think you'd have to be that. I think sometimes you have to be kind of a veteran team. And know that, I can just flick the switch. And
right.
This is a young team, basically, filled with backups and fill-ins. I mean, those aren't sleeping giants.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's what they said on ESPN last night. I sort of liked it. I started giggling. There was a bunch of guys that was in there. They were saying, I hope they fire Detroit coach. I hope they fire Washington coach. 5 seconds later, Detroit coach fired. Shanahan fired.
Yep.
I guess that's y'all wish. So they wanted the new coaches, some of the guys. But one more other question. Why did they let Austin Collie go?
I just think it was a numbers thing. I think the other two got healthy, at least for the moment.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him come back.
And they needed the depth elsewhere, so they had to open up that roster spot.
Okay.
He was an emergency guy.
He could be back. I mean, if Dobson is hurt.
Yeah, if Dobson re-aggravated that foot injury, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, you could see Collie back in uniform.
Okay. All right, sir. Yeah, have a good one.
All right, Eldridge. Happy New Year.
Go watch TV and drive.
Yeah. I had a question. I forgot what it was. I forget. Anyway.
Okay, good.
Of the coaches that got fired. Could you see any of them coming back to any other team as a coordinator?
Oh, Schwartzy, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
I could see any of them. I think
would
Chudzinski?
They do it? Would they
not
do it?
Yeah, I think Chudzinski could.
Like a guy like Shanahan wouldn't, and maybe Kubiak wouldn't, because Kubiak's been a head coach for a long time now.
Yeah.
But like Chudzinski? Absolutely.
Yeah. Another guy who got fired that just perked my attention was Pat Hill. And I know he's old. But in the light of the Dante phasing out, the Brian Daboll phasing in, maybe because he's old, he's not going to be the long-term
Where
answer.
Where was he?
Atlanta.
He's the offensive line coach,
and maybe
right?
he could come here with Dable for a year to help him transition. Remember the whole, he ran the offensive line development program in Cleveland.
I could see him coming, you know, in some capacity.
I could too. Yeah. He's a Belichick boy. So keep an eye on Pat Hill.
Consultant or whatever.
Yeah. But
just have an office. No one knows what he does.
Those guys that lost their jobs, I think, you know, at least half of them would absolutely go back to be coordinators like Josh McDaniels did and look for the next job.
The way it works.
So it'll be interesting. I mean,
did you read some of the
stuff? Would you be interested at any of them for the Patriots?
Schwartzy, I would not be uninterested.
Really?
Disinterested?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a chance there.
I don't know how you would do it necessarily with Patricia, because I think Bill likes and respects Patricia. He's put in the career path work that Bill appreciates and respects. So it probably won't happen, but we know how much Bill thinks of Schwartz. We know that he pursued him early on before he became kind of what he is. It wouldn't stun me if he were brought in here on some level.
Like Greg Schiano, I know that he's rumored to be going to Penn State, or at least they're interested in him. What if he doesn't like what they're offering him, and now he's out there? Could you see him coming on Bill's staff?
Sure.
What does he do?
That's what I was going to ask that. O-line? D-line?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because that's what it would depend to me on that.
Whose phone is ringing?
Mine.
Did you see the Washington stuff, though? Like how that was such a debacle
and
reading
they had
the stories?
Interns,
they locked people
security,
in.
Security. And they were blacking out windows, and a shade fell, and they were trying to quickly tape the shade back up.
I guess they didn't want people to see Shanahan getting in his car.
Yeah, and then they ended up he ended up in traffic with everybody.
Yeah, he was stuck, and the whole
they didn't want them getting one-on-one, like, you know, rushing his car or something like that.
Who's they, by the way?
The Redskins media relations organization. Whoever,
but that's what I don't understand. Like, if you're a Shanahan, if I want to do it, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'll pull out in the street and park right in front of your building in public property, and I'll do every one-on-one I want. I'll stand there and
Lawyer
stick
Malloy.
It to you. Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, I always find that, because he did one of those awkward press conferences, right?
Yeah.
In a Redskins press conference, essentially. At least Schiano's was at a Renaissance or something hotel down the street. Though I find that weird.
Yeah, I don't know. If I was a team and I just got rid of the head coach, even if it was somewhat amicable, I wouldn't give him now a stage. You go do your own thing.
And especially a stage with my logo on it.
Right, exactly. That's like, what I mean.
I mean, everybody assumes that fired employees have an axe to grind. Like, even when you read some random story in a newspaper about some industry you don't know, and you read, was let go by the company, you assume, well, now I got to take what he says with a grain of salt.
Right.
You're putting him in with a microphone and your logo. Right.
And I have no control now. He can say whatever he wants. Right. I have no jurisdiction
over. Oh, but did you see
that
part,
too? That's why I think that a lot of people worried about that.
Did you see that part with the Dick Allen, what's his name? Bruce Allen story? The end of that press conference was wrapping down, and some guy who has a reputation for asking tough questions got the microphone, and the PR guys wrapped it, and they had a tug of war on the microphone. The guy wouldn't give him the microphone back. Like, why can't we ever see something funny like that?
Well, I know it.
But you know what the funny thing is, Andy? That's what the Patriots were for 40 years before Robert Kraft and Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
That's what the Patriots were.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, I guess one of the questions was, you know, how can we be convinced that you're not going to – this isn't the Three Stooges?
Someone said that in Cleveland? Might have to be Tony Grossi.
It might have been, yeah. So, yeah, we're very fortunate.
Absolutely.
Very fortunate. Absolutely.
But not entertained like they are there.
No.
Although we get entertained for 16 weeks, they get entertained on Black Monday.
It's not entertaining for those people who shell out thousands of dollars to be fans,
right?
You know, to be season ticket holders.
And it's also not entertaining for, like, you know, the assistant offensive line coach whose family now has to move. And you know, this isn't a circus. This is my life.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, Peter King was talking about that. But, you know, that's why a lot of people don't get into the business.
Well, Fred, you want to tell them? You want to tell them?
This is the business we've chosen.
This is the business we've chosen. Right.
What if I just was looking at the scroll of the AFC Offensive Player of the Week for Blunt? Adam got the special teams. You think if he took those two to the house, he would have gotten Offensive Player and Special Teams Player of the Week?
Yes,
has that ever happened?
Probably. I don't know.
That would be something. I don't know if it has ever happened.
I was still surprised it was such a divide between his numbers and the previous all-purpose numbers. I still can't believe, like, Falk and Troy Brown didn't have bigger games with returns, receiving.
No, but Larry Garen had 290-something.
No, he beat it. The record's by 60 yards. It was like 270 to 3.
Yeah, and it was Larry Garen's number.
Yeah, that was 50. That didn't include Troy Brown. I thought those guys would have games that would have been up there.
Yeah, the only thing is Troy, I would have thought, would have had a chance, but I think when he did the bulk of his returning, he wasn't
right.
picking up big-time receiving yards. Falk's biggest offensive game is probably not much more than 100 yards.
No, I know. But he had like a 99-yard kick return.
Right.
And you figure in that game, he's probably got two other kick returns that went 30 yards. So now I'm up to 150. And if I chip in 50 yards rushing, I'm up to 200.
But that's
and if
I'm
he
saying,
had a decent receiving game, now I'm in the 280s, 290s.
Yeah, but Blount had 200 on offense.
I know. I just don't buy it.
And you're not going to have a much better. You're not going to have a much better
return.
Fell
asleep
day.
At the statistical.
Well, what's the record in the NFL for all-purpose yards in a game?
Strippers!
I don't know.
I'd be interested to see how far off he was from that. So, strippers. The record for all-purpose yards NFL in one game. Go get to it.
But I think it would have been funny if he got the player of the week in
two
different categories.
Give it to him. What did Adam do?
I think he got it for, it was a lifetime achievement thing because he became like the seventh guy to get 2,000 points or something. He kicked a lot of field goals in the game, but I don't think anything, they weren't like big field goals.
Remember when he was old and he was losing his leg and he couldn't play anymore?
Yeah, in 2005.
You know, he got on the program.
He probably did.
He kills those elk and he gets the,
he drinks the blood right out.
Right. The elk juice.
Sucks.
Antler juice.
Saw a lot of deer on the way home the other night.
Deidre almost hit one last night.
Is that right?
Yeah. She had to lock him up.
Here's a question, though, speaking of home things, that just I was thinking about. When you have a contractor over the house, like a plumber, electrician, whatever, do you think that they should be able to use your bathroom to do a number two? Or should they wait and go somewhere else?
I would never go number two anywhere, but...
Anywhere?
In someone else's house.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
But yeah, they should be able to use your bathroom.
What, to do it too?
Yeah. Well, if they have to go, they have to go.
Okay, so you're okay.
Now,
with
I wouldn't. You know, would you just? Are you talking about like when you're not there? They just
go
and use
it. No, when you're there.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do?
That's what I say.
No, you can't use my bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife is like, no way.
Who was telling that story?
Toucher and Rich.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Classic. When his wife was having cancer treatments and couldn't have germs anywhere in
I mean,
the house.
Basically, the whole
the guy,
apartment
like, blew
was like,
the toilet up.
And the guy went in and blew doors off. Oh. And they had to like get her out of there.
Because it was like a legitimate health risk because there were germs. And
well, I actually paid a couple guys that were putting in windows a couple years ago. I said, here's some money. Go to Dunkin' Donuts when you have to do your business.
He's so rich. He just throws money around. When you got to poo, go somewhere else.
And that's because of your wife?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I would never do
we're
that.
We're all, it's just nature. I mean, you got to go, you got to go.
Doesn't bother me at
all. What if they leave streaks in the bowl?
What if the plumber fixed the toilet,
so what
craps,
do you say?
And then says, your toilet's bogged
up. What do you say?
I'd prefer they didn't, but I wouldn't really care either way.
Yeah.
I mean, for someone like me who blows up toilets all around everywhere I go,
right.
It's hard to
I just
picky.
Think the vast majority of the people wouldn't go number two.
Unless it was an emergency.
Yeah. Right.
Like me. Barely made it. Have you ever had Stack a Burger?
No.
It's in the Burlington Mall. I barely made it from the Burlington Mall to TV, which is, what, a mile, Paul? From the mall to, like...
Not even.
And I had to run in there and run in the bathroom and just blew that toilet. I mean, if you have that problem, what are you going to do?
I know. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people have the problem that you have.
And I'd have to like brush the underside of the toilet seat
well,
and clean
you should
that
probably
off.
Carry a pack of matches around though, you know.
Oh, I don't think it's the smell with me that's the concern. It's the remnants.
Oh, then you should you should clean it.
Yes, you probably
not
should.
Leave it
I've
for
done that.
Else.
I've done that in places. Looked around for the toilet
oh, if
brush,
I ever had to go somewhere else, I would absolutely clean it.
Yeah.
I've done that.
So people wouldn't know that
but
I had
the problem
it.
Is a lot of people don't have the cleaning stuff
right.
in the like the downstairs guest bathroom, they keep that elsewhere because they don't want it around. Like that's just kind of like a whatever.
Right.
And so you're there's nothing in there to clean with.
I would wipe it down.
Because I've come with both ways. Oh, yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
But then like the underside of the sink.
Well, then you wash your hands thoroughly.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like Jackson
I mean, you're
gonna, the other
you,
day.
You have to wash it. You just went to the bathroom. You're washing your hands anyway.
Right.
Dad, I dropped my
Although,
figure in the toilet.
From what I hear, some people in this place don't do that.
No, they substitute the disinfectant for washing. Not a substitute, as Andy says.
It isn't. It's ridiculous. Do you ever think of poop particles?
Do I ever think of them?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, there's been times when I'm in the bathroom and I'm going and someone stanks and you're thinking.
Oh, yeah. It's in the air.
It's in the air. Like, and I'm
right.
breathing in poop.
You're right. You're right.
Like, it bothers me.
Yeah.
And I'm not like a germaphobe, but you're thinking, if I smell that, it's in the air.
That's true.
And I'm ingesting that.
That's
well,
true.
It, you know, it really does give, it gives off a visible odor, you know. Like, if it didn't go in the water.
What?
You never had a friend that was like the, you know, the local a-hole and decided he's I'm just gonna poop like anywhere. You never seen anybody poop on a floor. Seriously, I'm asking. I'm asking.
Really haven't lived till you've crapped on a floor.
I mean, obviously, it's something that I would never even think about doing, and I was like,
well,
you know, as you
no
guys
one
know,
above
as
the age of one, maybe.
As you guys know me very well, I was pissed off beyond belief when this happened with a bunch of my friends.
Save but that tape. You haven't
guy,
seen anybody poop on a floor?
Just squatted
the guy just squatted
dump.
In the middle of a kitchen and
what?
Pooped right on the floor. We were at a...
Didn't that happen in Ted?
You know what's funny? You know
this
what's
guy
funny?
Has
yeah. The stripper pooped on the floor!
It was one of the prostitutes that did it in Ted.
Yeah.
Was he drunk?
Matter of fact, it was a New Year's Eve party.
Was he drunk?
Absolutely.
Oh.
But gives him a little out.
Still.
Oh, God, no. No out. Ridiculous. Yeah. We're not animals.
You've never ever out of Rutgers? You've never had to go, like, on the beach and just dug a hole and dropped one in it?
Oh, I've done off the edge of a boat, just hung my butt over and ploop, ploop, ploop in the
water. Oh, and my friend pooping when he's drunk is,
in
like,
the ocean.
Over
I
the,
had to go.
You dug a hole in the beach?
Yeah, I've done just, beach, sand dunes.
Oh, yeah. That's
ridiculous. When you're fly fishing... You're out there. You bring a roll of toilet paper with you, and you dig a hole. So that I can understand.
But anyway,
I've gone on mountains.
Not on the beach.
I've done it.
What
I've
are you supposed to do?
This guy dropped trowel right in the kitchen, and you could actually see the smell coming off of it.
Oh,
that's how bad it was.
It was a steaming one.
That's how bad it was.
And Paul like watched it closely.
Oh no,
like,
I got
another Miller Lite from the fridge.
Well, I'm quite certain I had a Miller Lite in my hand at the time, but I got out of there.
Oh, like that's
can you replay
gross.
That?
That's
you've never
gross.
Seen someone poop on the floor.
I would rub
I'll
his nose
you.
In it.
I just can't.
Bad boy.
It was ridiculous. It was so ridiculous.
Still
I was so
friends
mad.
With him? Andy, you ever? You ever
still just friends brother. With him?
Nah, my brother.
You ever pooped in like a river or the ocean and it just comes up and floats behind you?
Yep,
that's the worst.
I have. No, the
I've
worst. My worst was I think I've told this
animals.
On a top of a mountain hiking. I had to poop, so I pooped and I had the toilet paper and I tried to throw it down and a gust of wind brought it and I had to duck. It blew right over my head.
All right,
that would have been just fitting.
Good poop talk.
Yeah.
Everybody does it.
All right, let's get to web radio at patriots.com.
Except
hot girls. The emails. Warren Ladd from the UK writes in. Happy New Year's. In the UK, we have New Year honors where. New people get given titles. So here are mine for the team. Fred Kirsch would be Lord Kirsch of Foxborough. Paul would be Paul Perillo, MBE, member of Bill's Empire. Andy would be Andrew Hart, CBE, commander of Bill's Empire. Ooh. And Eric would be the Queen. Only joking. Have a great New Year's, and maybe I'll pop over for the AFC Championship game in a few weeks. Don't drink too many Miller Lights.
No offense, but where do all these Brits get their money? Maybe I'll pop over for the AFC championship game in a couple of weeks. Like,
well,
that's an
place
expensive
U.S.
trip.
People who can do that get their money. They, you know,
yeah, but I generally assume people who listen to us, no offense, people don't have that type of disposable income.
I would say other than
I
the
think
students,
I think it's the opposite.
I would say other than the students, I think you know the people that are probably a higher,
very affluent, crowd.
Just because of you
when
know,
do
the
we
internet.
Become part of the affluent crowd?
When someone decides to hire us. I don't think it's going to happen. Although you got a shot, Andy. You bigger and better every week now. We're just honored that you can come in and work with us.
I know,
in
make
between,
the time.
In between gigs.
Make the time for us.
Although I do have to leave shortly.
Where are you going?
I got to do All Access.
You know.
At least that's for us.
Where
right?
He pretends he's relatively
Hey, are we supposed
positive.
To be doing our thing? What?
Yeah, because I'm leaving as soon as we're done with All Access.
Oh, it's the playoffs. We're out.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Although usually
he'll
it's
say
not really the playoffs.
He'll
though,
say something.
Because it's a bye week one. Yeah. It's not like a live
if
playoff.
If he needs you guys, I'm sure he'll
I assume you guys are doing a live one or something on the playoff show or Friday night.
I don't
That's
know. Maybe the AFC
Championship.
Yeah. Live in
we're
Denver.
We're not there yet.
Ooh, you're going to have to go.
Yeah. Well, that'll be good if you do that. I'm out. Outy 5,000.
Out like Robin Roberts. She's out.
Michelle,
she
loves
fired?
It when I call
oh,
her
Shalata. No. She's lesbian.
Oh. Yeah.
And continuing the streak of
oh,
when is somebody going to come out who I didn't assume was already gay?
I mean, as you said, when you said she's out, I was like, they fired her. She just had like all that stuff. They fired her.
12-4 says Shalata. That's what I had them going before all the injuries, which is yet another testament to why Bill should get Coach of the Year. One could also argue GM of the Year, which inevitably leads me to what if. As far as who we're seeing at Foxborough, I'm going out on a tiny limb and saying the Bengals, although I wouldn't mind if the Chargers beat them since I think they could very well knock off Denver.
A lot of people on that wagon, too. Chargers bother Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
You know, historically.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people on that bandwagon.
So with that, happy new year to all of you, and thanks for doing what you're doing. Sure brightens up the weeks. P.S. Can someone ask Logan Mankins if he eats barbed wire for breakfast? My gosh, tough as nails. So,
there yes. you go. Tough as any player in his 39 years Bill Belichick has ever been around or coached.
James in Brisbane.
Yeah, well, how come no one from Australia has called, you drunk party goers? It's 1-800-429-286, the Australian toll-free line.
Maybe because no one has any idea what those numbers are you just said.
1-800-429-286. It's the Australian toll-free line.
He does this on Sundays, right? He just rattles off numbers. Right. It's like the Powerball.
Right.
Well, because you don't know. There's, you know how you know
you
now?
Don't know where the 1-800-424,
you know where the breaks are. I don't know where the breaks are. There's not enough numbers. It's totally off the wall. Oh, Paul's getting the nod. Paul's out.
Yeah. We'll just walk off the show.
Must be nice.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
See, I have some respect for this show.
It was nice that you showed up on time for it today.
James in Brisbane says, happy new year to you all. Hope the holiday season is treating you well. Quite frankly, I think that the fact the Patriots were able to match last season's record, given all the crap they have been through, is nothing short of miraculous. Just shows what a together team can do. My question for you, which win looks better now than it would have at the start of the year? Secondly, which opponent would you most like to face in the second round? My preference would be the Colts.
Can you just tell me what it said instead of face?
Fact.
Oh, okay.
F-A-C-T.
Which win looks better now?
I think that Denver win is.
But we knew it was a good win then.
Yeah, true.
And it was a better win then.
Yeah.
I don't think any win looks better now than at the time. Most of them look worse.
You're right. You're right. Because the teams that we thought would give them a hard time, Houston, Atlanta, turned
Didn't.
Out to be really
right.
bad teams.
Right, weren't good.
Which, again, supports my argument that you guys made fun of me years ago about you can't really judge these opponents until you get into the season. You know,
We know that. Yes. We didn't make fun of you.
You made fun of me.
Because it was illogical. We made fun of you because then you should just wait for everything and assess everything.
No, not everything.
We're in the business of sports infotainment.
You know, it was easy to say, oh, Houston's going to be a – but they weren't a playoff contender, and they weren't that – they shouldn't have been that tough an opponent, even though they were. It was a tough game.
Want to face, I still think the Colts I'll take. I know people say, oh, luck is special and luck is good and luck, blah, blah. I'll take him. You having problems over there? What are you doing?
Cord's caught.
That's because it's wrapped around like four times.
Let's see. What, stop. Okay. Andy's now lifting up monitors, and my mouse stopped working. Now the monitor just went out. What are you doing?
I fixed it.
No, you didn't. All right. Let's see. Rachel says that... the single game record for yards, Blount is 70 yards short.
So
all purpose yards.
400 and what? For who?
Let me click. They have to give me the link. Glenn Milburn had 404 yards in 1995, Broncos versus Seahawks.
Glenn Milburn?
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
GLYN. I've heard of him.
Of course, you were a Broncos fan.
404. Then Billy Cannon had 373. Actually, there's quite a few. Adrian Peterson had 361 in 2007. So quite a few players. LeGarrette Blount is actually 12th on the list.
Blunt is, too.
Yeah. Gale Sayers is up there twice. Flipper Anderson from the Giants. No.
Rams.
From the Rams. So
Glenn Milburn, never heard of him.
Yep, 404 yards.
That's a lot of yards.
That's unbelievable. Well, it's believable.
Because it happened.
Yeah.
And anything that happens is believable.
That's right. Well, thank you there, Rachel, for sending us that info. Let's see.
Strippers must still be sleeping. This is too early for him.
Tony says, great season, great shows, memorable moments, loved it all. Keep up the good work for years to come. Short and simple.
Well, it is New Year's Eve. It is the end of the regular season, the end of the calendar year. So there's a natural cutting off point for some.
We had a question about how many Pro Bowlers the Browns have, because there was like someone out there saying nine.
Yeah, the idiots on.
They actually had five.
Oh, okay.
With four wins.
More Pro Bowlers. Who are the five? Did you read them?
No.
Oh.
I can. Nah, I don't want to.
Well, Thomas, Gordon, and
Hayden.
Hayden were the three presumed.
No.
Who else they got?
I don't know. Let's see. Any news? This is Nathan from Southern California. Any news on Mankins and Dobson?
Nope.
There was news that Mankins had one of those plastic boots in front of his locker.
Well, he left the stadium in a walking boot on Sunday. That was in his locker yesterday. But that means nothing to me. That is literally the first line of defense in those injuries.
It just
immobilize it and start the recovery. That doesn't. He could play. He could not play. That. I'm guessing you that has been done like 50 times this year to a player. He left the stadium in a walking boot. It's relatively common. It means nothing.
Yeah, and you know, the fact that it was an ankle rather than a knee is good. But if it was a high ankle sprain, those are tough too. I mean,
yeah, he came back. He'll be fine.
You know, as an offensive lineman, you need that base, and
he'll be fine.
It'll be tough.
They'll tape it up.
Yeah.
They'll shoot it up. They'll drug it up, and he'll be out.
I was pleased with Solder's play coming off the concussion. I think he had a pretty good game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No worse for the wear.
So.
Now, the question is some of the other guys, the secondary.
Yeah.
I assume McCourty will be back because it's a concussion. Okay, you've had your 3 weeks. But Dennard, Arrington continues to have every once in a while. He's got to limp off for a little bit. I still have my concerns about that back end.
Yeah, it turns out now Tlaib might be the healthiest of all of them.
Right.
You know, and Gregory, he's playing. I mean, I would assume that, you know, his wrist is a little bit better, but he hasn't been playing that well.
No, he has definitely declined, and I think is showing some of the things that Patriots fans didn't like about him from last year are now seeping into his game later in this season.
Yeah.
I thought he had a really good start to the year, and it's kind of
petering
out.
I thought he had a great start to the year.
But he also had the – remember, it was the knee. Last 2 weeks ago, he limped off. He had a little scare. He now has a knee injury, too, added to the mix.
That could be part of the problem.
You never know.
Yeah. All these guys.
You just don't know.
You just don't know. Kyle writes in. He's in Korea. First time contactor.
So is he? Is it 2014 in Korea?
They're after us, I believe.
No, they're not.
Oh, they're before us?
Yeah. That whole part of the world is having New Year's now.
Well, I know China's 12 years difference. It's
ours.
I forget if it's ahead or.
It's ahead. They're all ahead.
12 years. 12
That'd be
hour
awesome.
Difference.
It's 2026.
So Korea's probably around the same, maybe 11. I don't know. But
so they're in the range of New Year's Eve and the ball dropping.
Yeah.
Do they have balls over there?
I'm sure they do, yeah.
I don't know if the Koreans have balls.
They just drop nukes from North Korea. Kyle in Korea, first-time contactor, Patriots fan since 1985. Been listening for a few months here via TuneIn Radio app. Love listening to the banter. Thanks for everything and Happy New Year. I want to ask you guys a question because I'd love to hear the conversation that ensues. What is it about the Patriots? How are they 12-4? How do they keep winning like this year after year, and especially this year? The easy answer is the team mentality, but that answer leaves me wanting more. Is it Belichick?
If yes.
So, why don't his assistants who go elsewhere change the culture there and start winning? Is it the Kraft family? If so, what are they doing exactly? Is it just because all the other teams in the AFC are perennial suckers?
Yes.
Thus handing the division to the Patriots year after year by default? I want a more definitive answer. Can you give it?
It's a three-part answer. Belichick, Brady, and the rest of the league sucks.
Yeah. I think the fact that continuity has a lot to do with it, and you know, Belichick put in place a program that you can lose coordinators, you can lose coaches, you know, you can get injuries as long as they're not to Tom Brady, and you're going to still be successful because he's put this program together that works.
Right.
And it's not the only way that works. I'm not trying to say that the Patriots have this magic formula that no one else has. That's not true. But they have a good formula.
Well, and they do have the basis of a magic formula in Brady and Belichick. That is a base of the formula.
Yeah.
It works. The system works. But I don't understand why you'd expect necessarily the coordinators to recreate it. They're not Belichick. They don't bring Brady with them. They don't bring Belichick with them. They don't bring Kraft with them for the ownership stability. So it's hard to recreate that with all that missing.
You know, and, you know, that's one of the reasons why we said that maybe Bill O'Brien might have success as a head coach in the NFL, because he was kind of his own man when he was here.
and then takes some good from here.
Right.
And he's also has his own experiences at Penn State. I think he has a unique background that could make him the best of the disciples.
You know, and even Bill Belichick did not succeed in Cleveland.
Nope.
You know, and he didn't really have a quarterback. You know, he had the whole thing with Bernie Kosar and Vinny Testaverde, and people hated him for benching Kosar. He didn't really have the quarterback, and he really didn't have sound ownership. We saw what happened at the end there with moving. You know, so even a Bill Belichick can't do it on his own. He needs good ownership, and he needs to get a sound quarterback. You know, so that's why football is such a great sport. You know, it's the only sport where you can have players go into the League Hall of Fame without any stats. Offensive linemen. You know, they really don't have stats.
Right.
But they do their job really well, and if you're one of the best, you get into the Hall of Fame for it. That's what football's all about. It's why stats are deceiving in football. You need to know the whole scenario before you can make judgments. It's really a fascinating sport in that respect.
This came up yesterday. Do you think it's the sport where maybe you can play with the least amount of talent or athletic ability or I do. I think it is.
I think in the short term, you can win games. You know, like when a key player goes
out. No, I mean almost on as well. That, too. I do agree with that. But I even mean as like an individual. If you're the least talented, you know,
oh,
is football where you can work
and
kind of make yourself into something that.
Bubba Ventrone still has a job.
Right.
You know? I mean, that's all you need to say.
Right. Like, I don't think you can go to the NBA if you don't have certain skills,
right.
certain abilities. Whereas I think in the NFL, you need some. Yeah, you need to be, you know, certain speed, whatever. But I think if you work hard, pay attention, you know, there's a lot of ways to kind of knife your way in if you have bare minimum.
There's certain there's a certain threshold you have to be athletically. I mean, if you're an offensive lineman, you have to be strong.
Right.
You know, if you're a special teams demon, you have to be fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have certain traits, but there's something for everyone.
There's a certain want to in football that
carries
a good chunk of weight in the equation of can you play?
Yeah.
If you want to, you're halfway there.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Andrew writes in, are you guys starting the show earlier now? I noticed that you guys started the show 2 hours earlier than usual just today. You know, trying to let people out a little earlier for New Year's Eve. But we'll be back at noon tomorrow and Thursday.
You got a big bash?
No.
Nothing?
Couple people coming over. No, nothing.
What are you having? Lobster?
No, not even
filet.
Not even a big dinner. Just hang out.
Yep. Just getting hammered.
Yeah, not even that.
Do you drink beer?
Got to work tomorrow. A couple Sam Adams.
Yeah. Nothing fancy. What happened to your top shelf margarita stage you went through?
I still like margaritas.
Top shelf.
Yeah, we had some of those. When was it? I forget what night we made margaritas with Patron. Tequila.
Fred, we have a normal show tomorrow, right, at noon?
Noon.
Yes, noon.
That's
correct. Wednesday, Thursday, noon.
Less likely to be puking all over the board.
You getting hammered tonight?
Oh, yeah.
You're one of those that just go
No,
crazy.
I've never really done much on New Year's Eve since I started working here, and the girlfriend made it known to me that we really haven't done anything on New Year's the last, like, 5 years, and I was like, all right, this is the New Year's. Like, we're going to do something. So
what are you doing?
Going out to, hopefully. But we're going out to one of her friends is having like a big house party.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, bring your
own
food.
Good.
Yeah,
house parties.
I don't want to be at a bar, Fred.
Yeah.
That's where I draw the line.
Bars that, you know,
it's 75 bucks to get in the door.
You know, and then you have, you know, you pay for dinner and then at midnight they have the midnight brunch or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, I'm not paying.
With all people you don't know.
Yeah. Right. I'm not going to pay $200 to go in there with those animals.
No, house party's fun.
Yeah. If you go over, you know, it's people you
just
know.
Just don't take a dump in the kitchen floor.
I'll try not to. I'll dig a hole if I have to.
Yeah. But.
The last time I went to a New Year's Eve house party, Vic and I started wrestling, started fighting, and just knocking over couches, tables.
Sounds like
just bouncing.
Sounds
off
like wall. Like Christmas at the Perillo house.
And everybody was freaking out, and then we just like finished, and we both were like drunk and just sitting there. Being there like, hey, that was awesome or something. And everybody else thought we were like going to kill each other.
Whose house was it?
Mike Arujo. I just remember like.
So was this back in high school?
I want to say it might have been like we came home from college or something,
right.
Like sophomore year. Yeah.
So it wasn't like last year.
No. This was late 90s or something. But we just trashed the play. We were just throwing each other over couches and chairs and tables.
I think once you get like late 20s, early 30s, the days of like you wanting to go out just leave you. You're just like happy just sitting at home, especially if you have to work the next day.
Because you acknowledge the annoyances more.
Oh, absolutely.
When you're younger, you fixate on the like having a good time and drinking. But then when you get older, you realize, well, this is going
to
happen.
Let's face it.
Yeah.
When you're
younger, trying to get home.
You had the motivation of you might get laid.
That's
right.
True.
That's the main thing.
Or if you're Eric's age.
Because if you just want to get drunk, you can stay home and get drunk.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't get laid.
That's a little more depressing, though, Fred, just to sit on my couch and drink.
Yeah, you're going out because there's going to be a lot of girls out and showing them drunk, showing their tatas. And
yeah, that's true. The worst part is worrying about trying to get home.
Right.
That's the worst part.
Right.
You know,
or just anything. I remember I went to First Night once in Boston, and people were like drunk in the streets, and they're just like kicking the mirrors off cars and just like stupid people being out.
Yeah, that's not fun. And you also don't want to pay. I think you also kind of get some sense knocked into you where you're like, all right, if I go to, you know, said bar, and it's $50 just to get in, no drinks. Like, what? Like, where's the value in that? Like,
or I can go to a house party, bring a 30-pack, and I'm good.
And have just as much fun with people I know.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Definitely, I think on New Year's Eve, don't you want to be with people you know?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
Unless you're single and alone and trying to meet.
Then you just want to be at a happening party.
Yeah, and you want to try to meet, like, you know, some girl that's, you know, on the edge of consciousness to try to take her home.
Easy.
Give her a roofie.
All right,
let's take a break. We'll be right back with more calls and emails on this New Year's Eve edition of PFW in Progress.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Well, Manish, we won't get into any contract talks or anything like that. But Rex and I talk every day. We're joined at the hip. We have been since I arrived. Certainly the topic that is going to come up next is our staff. And as Rex just said, you know, this things happen so fast. I mean, the season in the NFL ends so abruptly. We are really focused just on the day, the week, that game. And then when it ends so quickly as it did in Miami, and there was such emotion in our locker room, such a positive vibe in our locker room, then it's you just want to take a breath and say, okay, let's really ascertain what happened. So first step of that was with our players. Then we'll, you know, Rex and I will sit down this week. We'll go through each coach individually. We'll talk to them. And we'll have a much better view on going forward with our staff after this week.
All right, back here on Web Radio at PFW in Progress. Email is webradiopages.com. That was Idzik.
Yeah.
talking about the Jets.
Talking about the emotion.
Andrew from Middletown, New Jersey writes in, I live in New Jersey and recently read about how happy the Jets were that they were retaining Rex Ryan. The article stated that the Jets overachieved with an 8-8 record, battled injuries throughout the year, and a quarterback development. Seriously? These are all excuses. None of that would fly in New England. I was rooting for the Jets on Sunday. The single win loss propelled both Miami and the Jets deep into the late teens in the draft. I'm hoping to see New England in the Meadowlands in a couple of weeks. So,
I think they did overachieve, don't you? I think they were a better team than I thought.
Toward the end, I thought that they would completely collapse. And I give, you know, in that respect, I do give Rex Ryan credit for keeping that team together, because they had the makings of a team that would just collapse.
I mean, just look at the Patriots. They beat them once, and they were very competitive with them the other time.
Yeah,
they could have swept the Patriots this year.
Ryan, like I said, Ryan's a great defensive coach. I really think he is, you know.
And it's hard. It's having that and having an offense that's inept. So you have, it's almost like a double whammy. It'd be one thing if you had a great defensive coach, defensive-minded, on a team that has a competitive offense. Okay, maybe you can criticize him. Maybe he needs to do more. But they have no talent on offense, none. Right. And the talent they have, I just listened to a guy coming in on Dennis and Callahan, or one of those from New York, talking about he thinks Santonio Holmes is, the in terms of work ethic, attitude, everything, one of the worst athletes that has ever come through New York, ever. Mm. And he is supposed to be their top playmaker. Right. Remember, he was a captain for a year and all that crap. So it's not even that they're not even skilled. The couple guys they do, Scott Zolak's in the other studio, and a big piece of soundproofing fell off the wall onto his head. Almost. Now he's fanning himself with what appear to be $100 bills.
Okay. All right.
Are they getting a stripper in there? Oh. Are you going to be making it rain?
It's New Year's Eve. Maybe. Yeah, the other radio station's doing a live show.
Kevin, is he going to get a stripper in there? Why is he waving and fanning himself with money?
No, but he's got my soundproof panel down there.
It fell off on his head. Almost knocked his sunglasses off indoor. Can't have that.
Are they trashing the place? Send a bill to 98.5, will you? Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan's in Virginia.
Oh,
hey, Dan,
I don't want to talk to you. I want to call from Australia. You're not in next year.
Sorry, Matt. They're probably all slipping off on the beach.
Yeah.
They probably are. What are they doing? I want to hear from the future.
We enjoy the good fortune of New Year's Eve coming in the summertime, so you can have parties on the beach. And
oh, that's true. Those parties would be nicer than the ice sculptures and stuff that we have. That would improve the holiday a lot.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I wanted to call about the coaching discussion you're having right now with regards to Chudzinski's firing. I know it seems unfair to fire a coach after 1 year, because it takes, you know, so much time to develop a team and correct the previous guy's mistakes and so forth. Is it unfair that they fired him after 1 year, or is there an argument that can be made for, if the guy is clearly not the guy, why waste another couple of years and then have to uninstall his system and, you know, fix all his mistakes and get another guy in?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
I mean, we don't know the behind the scenes, but clearly something dramatic was going on.
Absolutely.
There. Something bristling, you know. There were reports that I believe he was supposed to cut somebody and wouldn't do it, just flat out, you know, refused an order from a superior, essentially. So clearly there was some sort of major issue there, not just they didn't quite like this or didn't quite like that.
Right.
You know, I know they faded down the stretch. They were a team that early in the year was more competitive than people thought and then kind of petered out, but they're not a good team. They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, it wasn't an impatience thing.
It was not a traditional situation.
There was something drastic that happened that, like you said, Dan, they said this isn't there's no sense in giving this guy another year.
And I agree with that. If you're running a team just because he's new, if you know 100% he's wrong, you got to move on.
Yeah.
You can't, because you're just delaying the improvement, the rebuilding. So they clearly knew. They may be right. They may be wrong. They may be the jerks. They may be the ones who are wrong and shouldn't be in the position they're in, but they're the bosses, so they get to make that decision.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for another great year. All the best for this evening. Have a good time. And if we call in tomorrow, we'll try to speak a little quietly for Andy's benefit.
All right.
If he's hangover too much.
I don't think I'll have a hangover. I think I'll be good.
Yeah, I know I won't.
I had a hangover on the pregame social a couple weeks ago.
Did you?
Right before Christmas.
Thanks,
or something.
Dan.
We went to a party and I don't know if I told you this, but we.
Yeah, that's right. I think it was it last? No, it was the away game. It was Baltimore.
Yeah. And they, I was drinking Bud Lights, but then they ran out and the guy's like, oh, I think I got some regular Bud in the back of the fridge. And I started drinking just regular Bud.
and I did not feel good.
Bud Varsity, Fred. He stepped up from a JV level.
I went from light to the real thing, and I can't handle that apparently. Plus, it was like beer 9 and 10, so I don't drink that much anyway.
Does anybody really drink a lot of regular Miller and regular Bud
No,
anymore?
I don't think so.
Oh, I think Bud still has a healthy
Yeah, I think the older crowd.
I don't think Miller really does.
No.
What is it Miller High Life?
Miller High Life.
That is the regular?
Yeah.
Because don't they also have Miller Genuine Draft? Is that?
Yeah. Yep.
What is the?
And they have Miller. They have Miller 64, the low calorie.
Well, those are popular. Yeah, the Miller 64 and the Miller Lite is popular.
I would say,
Bud is still, I believe, the second most popular.
Yeah,
Bud Light is one. I think Bud is two.
Is that right?
I would say like 90% of the people when you go to a bar, like on a weekend night or whatever, are having like Bud Light bottles.
Oh yeah.
I think that it's just very
Bud Light dominates. But you still see and. I don't want to be like making generalizations, but you see a lot of pickup trucks with empty Bud regular cans in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like people who hunt and drive pickup trucks and do those things have Bud in the back.
They're not drinking Sam Adams?
No.
No, and I think my dad like still keeps it in the fridge because a lot of his friends, when they come over, like just regular straight Budweiser. And they tease me for drinking Bud Light. They're like, you're JV. You got to step up to the varsity level here. Drink Bud Varsity.
And what is it, like 1% more alcohol or something?
It's just like when you drink it, right? If you drink three or four of those, you feel like you can't eat a meal because you've just...
They're
you know,
very filling.
Well, I think that's why I didn't... Because I probably had seven or eight Miller Lights or Bud Lights and then a couple of those, and I was like, ooh.
Like if you're going out for a steak, Fred... You have like a Bud or a Sam Adams or like a nice bar.
Never a Bud. I'd have a Sam Adams.
But that's like, heavy too. Yeah, that's not a light
but
beer.
But that's what I'm saying.
But it just tastes better with the food.
With the meat. But then you're not going to drink, Fred. You're not going to drink six of those or eight of those.
I really do enjoy the taste of beer.
Yeah. I enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Yeah, not as much as Sam Adams.
Especially you get a Miller Lite bottle from a bar that was in ice.
Yeah.
It's like ice cold, refreshing, just like.
Yeah, well, same to me with Sam Adams, but it tastes better.
But see, to me, those are a little heavier.
Yeah, but the difference is if you're going to go out and drink, you're not going to drink a 12-pack of Sam Adams because you're going to feel like you're going to explode.
Right.
Like if you're going to drink to go get drunk,
you're going to have a 12-pack, you're a drunk.
Exactly.
You know,
I'm not disputing that, Fred.
I still remember the time when I was in high school and Vic's dad said Mike's Hard Lemonade had just come out and he drank a couple and he goes, well, these are pretty good.
Yeah.
But you drink a couple 6-packs of these, you're going to have a headache the next day. And I'm thinking, who's going to drink a couple six packs of them?
You know what the new thing is? So Mike's was like when you and I were kind of.
Well, they're so syrupy and.
Yeah, but they were like kind of a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and now the thing is, like at the tailgates that I go to, like my roommate and his buddies, they drink Twisted Tea.
Oh, yeah,
which
yeah.
Which is that like alcoholic iced tea.
Yep.
And
Smirnoff's
taken off. Like,
the Smirnoff ices
isn't that
or whatever.
Kind of girly drinks, though?
That's what I say.
Yeah.
I make fun of them, but they love
I drink
it.
Girly. I'm fine with it. But some of those Smirnoffs, like the strawberry acai,
these guys will drink like, say it like
anything.
A 4-hour tailgate. No, these guys will drink like 15 Twisted Teas.
Like Olivia Dukakis, rubbing alcohol.
That
was her name, right, Olivia Dukakis?
I've
always said, and I will continue to say that in terms of mass-produced, widely distributed beers, not, you know, local breweries, microbreweries, but I think Sam Adams is the best tasting beer
delicious.
On the market.
Yeah.
In terms of mass production.
And they have great variety, too. They have a lot of different
beers.
Yeah,
but I'm talking about the Boston Lager.
Lager, okay.
You know, that particular.
Boston and you can find it pretty much anywhere now.
Yeah,
oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's what I mean.
Huge.
You know, it's all over the world now.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think that's the best tasting, worldwide distributed beer. Now, there's other beers that the microbreweries that are just as good, if not better. But I'm talking about the big brands.
I like Miller Lite.
I think it's the best.
I agree with
I like
Fred.
Bud Light. Miller Light. Yeah. They get the job done. I also
they're cheaper.
I drank some eggnog on Christmas Eve with brandy in it.
Oh.
It was very yummy.
By the way,
very yummy.
Really stuff. Really harsh critics of eggnog on EEI.
Well, Salk's an idiot.
I love eggnog.
Well, they were saying it was like D'Ossi and Fourier on the crossover.
Oh, yeah,
they were just trashing.
No, Fourier likes eggnog. Uh-huh. I don't know about D'Ossi, but Fourier, we have a common bond. The eggnog latte at Dunkin' Donuts is just phenomenal. It is a tremendous drink.
Salk definitely hated on it. I think
eggnog hates everything. I mean, eggnog hates everything.
Call him eggnog.
Salk. Eggnog hates Salk.
No, I like eggnog, but too much of it is.
Well, I mean, it's heavy.
Right.
Talk about motor oil.
Right.
That's motor oil, but it's white.
Tyler in Orlando is writing in at webradio@patriots.com. Happy New Year, Fred, Paul, Andy, Kevin. Just wanted to write in and let you know I really appreciate the PFW show and online content on patriots.com. And then I'm happy to say that I am a new subscriber to the magazine You guys have helped me get through two bachelor's degrees and a master's degree at UCF in Orlando.
Get a job.
And I look forward to listening to you in the future. Hope all of you have a great 2014.
Get a job. You're done with schooling. Two bachelor's and a master's. Move on. What are you doing? We should say, though, I'm sure a lot of people got iPads, iPad Airs, and whatever versions for Christmas.
Yep.
Good time to head on over to the App Store on for Apple and get your Patriots Football Daily.
We did get a little bump of subscribers on the Patriots Football Daily over Christmas, I noticed. Thank you for that.
How's everything else going, by the way?
Well, everything's
good. For the app. No, the app.
What do you mean?
The new app. Are we going to have an Android app?
Oh, no, we're not, because Google won't let us be in there. We're not big enough.
We're not big enough.
Although I will say, though, if you own a Kindle, we just made our regular app available on Kindle.
Oh, nice, because I actually heard Kindle killed it over the holiday sales season.
And in like 3 or 4 days, we had like 2,500 people who downloaded it. And next week in the Kindle marketplace, they're going to be featuring the Patriots app.
Have you? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by the Kindle thing that you see that it has like a help button.
Yeah.
And it's like a live person.
Yeah.
You do like a Skype with a live person.
Yeah. I got a feeling they're not all like the woman that's on TV.
This is Padeep in India. How may I help you?
Right. So Kindle's a good, for the money, it's a real good buy.
My wife has one, the last year's version, and she loves it.
Yeah.
And I think I've messed around on it.
If you do shop at Amazon, it's dangerous because they make everything very easy to just go buy something. Yeah.
Well, that's what they're in business to do.
That's why they can have such a low price point, because they're making up for what people spend on Amazon.
It's where I buy my tart cherry juice, by the case, for my running.
Oh, yeah?
They have the best deal by far. Amazon, they ship it to me for free, even though it's a big, heavy case of juice.
Cherry juice.
Cherry, yes. Yeah. It's supposed to be good for natural anti-inflammatory, helps with your sleep cycles. You might want to get on it.
Cherry juice?
Tart cherry juice.
Tart.
Not just cherry juice. It's going to be the tart cherry. I think they're called Matamorenzi cherry.
I like my fish eggs.
You eat fish eggs?
Yeah.
It's called caviar.
No.
You mean fish oil, right?
Yeah.
Not eggs.
Well, they're little yellow things. I call them fish eggs.
You're so weird. How often does your wife roll her eyes at you?
It's good stuff. Someone calling he or she Fred's alter ego was calling in. What's going on, Fred's alter ego?
Hey, this is Fred Kush, man. Fred Kush's drug-friendly alter ego.
Okay.
I called way back in the summertime, guys, and I wanted to talk about my friend LeGarrette Blount, man.
Can we talk? He was really rolling.
The game he had, he was rolling, man. Oh, Blount.
Smoking.
Right. So why do you think, is that it?
That's all, I just want to
praise
for
LeGarrette.
That's all
you're bringing?
Okay,
I figured you'd bring more to the table there, because my alter ego.
Now, I know you're not in Australia, but are you in next year already?
Dude, I don't know where I am right now.
See, that's not really my alter ego. That is me. So I don't know why. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Fred Kirsch's alter ego.
Fred's alter ego is actually well-spoken, skinny, well-kept.
Okay, that wasn't nice.
Hey, we should get that in. What do you got? You must have a resolution.
Kyle's writing in.
I just asked you for your New Year's
for
resolution.
Korea. He says... Anyway, Korea rings a bell to turn in the new year.
Did they already do it?
They ring a bell. No daylight savings time here, so we're 13 or 14 hours ahead of the U.S., depending on the season. Actually, the time changes mid-NFL season, so at the beginning of the year, I have to watch the games at 2 or 5 a.m., and it changes to 3 or 6 a.m. So I'm thankful for Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night games.
So is it 2014?
It is. Well, it says they're 13 or 14 hours ahead.
So, yeah, it's got to be.
Yes.
It's almost noon. So,
right.
It's either way.
Yes.
Happy New Year!
So, they just rang the bell.
So, Kim Jong, who's the leader over there now? Dennis Rodman's friend?
Up in the north?
Yeah. I don't know. Kim Jong G6.
Just had his uncle killed?
Yeah.
What a nut job. Yeah. We got to do something about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure we do need to get involved in anything. We have our own issues.
Yeah.
Can we wait till we fix our government, our health care, our taxes, our everything before we start picking wars with people?
I think we can do two things at one time.
Yeah, I don't think we need to be doing that. And we are doing two things at one time. We already have something going on in the Middle East. Can we clean that up before we start picking? You know, that's how world wars start. Why are we picking fights?
Web radio.
What is your New Year's resolution?
I don't have one.
You don't?
Nope.
Not going to lose weight?
No.
You sure? You don't want to lose any weight?
I think anything that, you know, you need to change, why wait for New Year's?
Well, that's what I said yesterday. I'm not big on them.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could make, like, my resolution could be to finish the marathon.
Look, I always want to lose weight. It's a year-long thing for me.
You just don't try.
Right. It's like, you know.
Your wife made cinnamon buns that had to have had, like, 1,000 calories in each little section.
I only
phenomenal.
Had one.
Well, they're fun. I don't know how you did that.
They're really good.
Because if they were warm, when I would have had three of them. I mean, easy. They were as good as I've ever had. And I was a little hesitant because normally you think they usually have a lot of the white on top, and they didn't. And I was like, oh, there's not enough frosting. But I think that's because it made, like, was in it.
Right.
It was like a dense,
sweet. As soon as they came out of the oven, she put that on, so it melted right in.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, they one of those things where you can just, like, taste the butter and sweetness in every bite, and you know you're dying.
It was good
You're shaving a little bit off the back end of your life.
Definitely good stuff. Yeah, they tasted good. She made about 6 trays of them and then gave them to, like, she gave them to the neighbor. And
so you're popular now.
She's driving around today giving out
the friendly
Kirsches.
Oh, they're worth it.
Yeah, they were good. 508-298-0398, 855-PATS-500.
More importantly, 1-800-429-286, Australia.
Well, do we have a Korean number? No?
No.
We should. We have some, obviously.
Japan.
People. Japan?
Japan, 00531161396. I think those are the only places that we have numbers where it would already be 2014.
Okay. Japan and Australia.
Japan and Australia, you are letting me down. Call. Where's Yan Yankatube and all our friends in Australia? Call! Australia! I'd like our regular listeners to step aside so Australia can get through.
All right. Now, Paul has gone to do some All Access stuff, so that's why he's not here, if you're wondering.
And Eric, speaking of All Ass Kiss, he's knocking on the door to come
Paul's
back in.
Trying to come back. He doesn't have his his
apparently
badge,
he not only didn't have a jacket today, he didn't have an ID.
So here comes Paul.
He looks mildly concerned that he lost his ID.
Oh, no, I did. I don't know. I probably left it in the studio.
Whose jacket is that?
Matt Quinn's.
These guys have closets of suits just in case they need
Well, that's why they're called the suits.
The sales guy.
Yeah, they're...
Yeah,
I mean, they've earned that. What kind is this? A nice one? Milton's.
Is it a Jim Regan special?
And just for him, he got a shirt, too.
Yeah. So he comes, takes the jacket off, and then
he
leaves
goes
again.
And gets a Pepsi. Hey, it's 2014 somewhere, Paul. Enjoy that Pepsi.
Why can't I have a Pepsi?
I don't know. 11 a.m., a little early for a Pepsi.
It's actually 12.
Is it?
It's okay.
Yeah, it's noon.
Nice you to join
much.
Us for the last 9 minutes.
How was All Access?
That's not what I heard you were calling it earlier.
No. Oh. I never call it anything but that.
What did I call it?
The word is Kevin, you know, producer Kevin Collins.
Yeah. All Ass Kiss?
Yeah, he was saying you guys were calling it.
I never call it that.
Although there was a segment in there that absolutely would qualify.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We just lay it on. Do they get enough credit?
Oh, God. And how do you do
that?
Do
we take it for
granted?
How do
you fraudulently play along with that thought
process? Well, I didn't.
Process?
I said I think that they're...
I didn't.
I said I think they're the model franchise in football. I think people are constantly emulating what the Patriots do. They're constantly going after their front office people. They're constantly going after their coaches. They want to be like the Patriots. Don't worry about us, Zoe. We're just doing a radio show.
We might want to roll him later, as you would say in Everett. He was fanning himself with what appeared to be $100 bills.
Hundreds?
Unicorns! Show ponies!
After one of the soundboards fell
I look over, one of these big gray things just fell right on his head. Almost knocked his sunglasses off.
So, I mean, I think, you know, the whole idea of, you know, we take it for granted. I'm not really sure that I buy that line of thinking.
I think some fans take it for granted.
Of course. It's never 100%.
Well, ESPN certainly takes it for granted.
What does that mean?
They hate us.
Yes, but those two things aren't the same. They hate you.
It's just
I agree.
Those...
I think there is a hate with certain members of ESPN and maybe even the network in general. I have no idea. But they don't take you for granted.
Maybe you could say when they pick you to win every week, they're doing it because not necessarily because they think you're any good, but just because they take you for granted. Maybe you could say that. But I just think that it seems like, with the exception of the Baltimore game, when was the last time you remember like a lot of people picking against them?
No, it's not a...
The Baltimore game was ridiculous.
It's not a
everybody,
I mean,
everybody
they
was on the
be Ravens. Right when they pick for us, and obviously that's a sign of respect if they think you're going to win, but they don't like us. They don't
but that's
like
not,
us.
But that wasn't the question.
I said they hate us.
Yeah, but I think you're right about that.
Yes.
But the question that me and Andy were talking about
is... So they
look
for anything they can to put us down. Any little thing.
I agree.
You know?
But do we take it for granted? Do we not respect how much they win?
I certainly respect it.
And I think most people do.
You engulf it.
The question was, you know, do people not realize how good they are? I'm like, I just look at it as like, I don't know what you've been watching for 15 years. I think people widely, every August, the Patriots are in a small group of teams that people have considered Super Bowl favorites. And every January, they're in a small group of teams that people think are legitimate chances to win the Super Bowl. Every year.
Rank the teams in the American Football Conference in terms of talent right now.
Well, I think on offense, you know,
no, no, start... no.
What?
The teams.
Well, I mean,
I want you to tell me
part of a team.
Yeah, but I don't want you to break it down. It's easy to say that the Broncos are talented on offense. Give
yeah,
me
are
the
we
rankings.
Talking about all the guys that are out or like
no,
rosters...
right now entering the postseason talent wise.
I might put Cincinnati and Kansas City ahead of Denver and New England in terms of talent, depending on who's playing for Kansas City.
You could sell me on that. I mean, you know how I think about
the
Chiefs.
But because the Broncos are missing everybody. The Patriots are missing everybody. Right. I don't think those teams are as talented as they were, you know, 4 months ago.
Yeah, I don't think the Patriots
I don't know how many
are
guys,
the most talented.
I don't know how many guys are out close. In Kansas City. I know how many guys have been hurt, but I don't know who's playing. In Denver, I don't expect Raheem Moore to play. I mean, I know Welker is probably going to play, but I'm not so sure on that either.
He's been cleared.
You know, there's guys that are missing. Von Miller's not going to play. I mean, there's a lot of talent that's not going to play. Just like, obviously, we know all the names here. Indianapolis missing Reggie Wayne. That's a huge, you know, that's a huge loss.
By the way, Tyler from Orlando says, thank you for the advice on getting a job, Andy. Very helpful. I actually graduated 2 weeks ago and will begin working next Monday for an engineering consulting
firm.
Well,
thank you. Good for you. Well, no, he told us we were helpful getting him through college, two bachelor's degrees, a master's degree, and I said, get a job.
Dominic writes in.
Now you can buy lunch, by the way.
Career student.
Dominic writes in, I feel great yeehaw, about going into yeehaw. The playoffs this year and think we are a lock for the AFC Championship.
Lock.
Now my question today is, what happened to Fred's treadmill idea? Love the show. Keep up the great coverage and go Patriots.
He thankfully saved the Crafts a significant chunk of money by realizing it was a bad idea.
I don't know. I haven't totally given up on it. It's just, it's a lot. It's something for the off season to deal with. I don't want to deal with it now. You have to rearrange the whole. Here's what I think will really look silly.
You on a treadmill
yeah.
all day long.
I'm on the treadmill and people walking by my office and like taking a double take, like what the hell is
right.
he doing?
Yeah,
it is kind of weird.
But if you think it's you know what you need, then
if we were
go
in like
it.
One of those Google environments where people are playing ping pong and there's
Google environment,
you know, there's things going on and there's
slides. So just move your office to marketing.
People don't go downstairs; they go down slides, you know, things like that. Then okay, then yeah, treadmill would fit in a little bit. But I think I'd stick out a little bit if I did that. I don't know.
Yeah, oh, I know. You would. Yeah. Nice shot at marketing in there, by the way. You know, the people who gave you a jacket to wear when you needed one.
Well, it doesn't mean I don't like them.
Wait, what did he say?
You said if we had one of those Google environments with, like, ping pong tables, I go, Mark.
Yeah, like Mario, they're playing, they're putting.
Like, have you ever been over there?
Right.
None of them have regular chairs. They all have, like, a ball chair or, right. like, those weird, like, ergonomic or something.
Right.
It's always different over there.
Well,
plus, they have orgies, according to you.
Well, that was
you
could
go in
Quinny.
You could go in Quinny's
so
office
anymore.
And get like a 3-course meal.
Orgies are done.
I'm not so sure. A lot of these people are growing up. They're married now.
But they bring in a new cast. They got that board that they post them on the photos of them.
Yeah,
I'm interested in joining some of them.
You make it sound like they're posting information about orgies. On
It'll be at you know so and so's house at 7 o'clock. Bring your own oil.
Lube is important.
Right. Oh my God! All right.
Tebow hired by this. You see now.
Cleavage
huh?
and camel toe.
Yeah.
Not giving up his
cleavage and camel toe.
Well, he's an SEC reporter for ESPN, right?
No, it's.
Oh,
it's,
I thought it was SEC Network. It's
the SEC Network is owned by ESPN.
Oh, okay.
It's the same. Company.
I guess they had a conference call this morning about it.
Who cares?
Yeah.
And he has an out in his contract that he can.
Oh, he hasn't given up his dream of being an NFL quarterback. But this is an amazing opportunity.
Well,
you know what I have in common with Tim Tebow? I work in the media, yeah. and I can't throw.
But no, you mentioned that he has an out in his contract. Somebody made a funny comment. Said, "Can you imagine the giggling that they were,
yeah.
you know, when they wrote that in?" It's like, yeah. I look. I will still say that I think he could be a quarterback in the NFL, but it would take a complete organizational commitment from beginning to end. And it's not like you can bring him in to compete for the job. You would have to bring him in. He's our quarterback and reshape your whole
team. You're right, because it would take a complete organizational commitment to make sure we have the best defense and the best running game in the league so we don't have to throw.
It's just funny. Like, you can't argue with that. How can you say no?
I can.
But you don't
he
have
stinks.
But what I'm saying, like, factually,
he can't run a play.
I still think he could be a quarterback if someone just,
you know who doesn't think that? 32 NFL decision
makers.
Well,
yeah, no one's going to
do
that.
No, I know, but you can't say that.
No one's going to do that.
You can't say he's wrong because
oh, I can say he's wrong.
Oh, I just hope and pray for the day that somebody does that and they actually come out and they make the statement, "We are going to sign Tim Tebow as our quarterback and we are going to completely change everything that we've ever done about football just to suit Tim Tebow." And then 8 weeks later when he fails, people will still say they didn't commit
right.
to him.
They didn't do it right.
It ain't happening. He's done. He's done.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think he'll be a fine analyst. He's a legendary character in football, and he's well-spoken. I mean, I think it's fine.
And after his interaction with my family, I put him at the top of my list.
Yeah.
Very, very nice man.
I think he's fading a little.
What do you mean he's fading?
His popularity, don't you think?
Oh, I don't.
No? I mean,
well, he's sort of irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
but
I
think he's
Fred.
Still popular. I think the people that like him still like him. Like,
yeah, I don't think he's as... I don't know.
Well, because he's not on an NFL roster.
Yeah,
he's not in your face all the time.
And he knows that. If he doesn't have that platform, then he's not going to be relevant.
Ninko going to be on NFL Network later on.
Oh, nice. Just in the Ninko time.
Let's do one more call because it really is time to wrap up. But Noel in Denver has called in. Hey, Noel.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year to you.
Thank
Same
you, Noel.
To you.
Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in a couple of weeks, but I don't think we will anyway. I had a buddy text me yesterday and said, "Hey, Noel, I've got bad news for you. Denver at Seattle in the Super Bowl." I wrote him back and I says, texted him back and said, "Hey, Kansas City, you can't beat them three times in a row, so we're not worried about you. You're one and done." So I never heard from him again, which tells that everybody out west have very thin skin.
That's true. I would agree.
I actually had thought a little bit about that three-time thing for Kansas City. I don't think Kansas City is going to win. I think Indianapolis is going to win that game. But
really?
Yeah, I think they...
Tell me why, and I'll listen on the radio.
Because 2 weeks ago, they kicked the crap out of him in Kansas City. I think they're better.
Yep.
Your phone's ringing.
I know. Oh. Well, I'm on the radio. What am I going to do?
On the radio!
Yeah. Hey, guys, thanks a lot. Happy New Year.
All right.
Thanks,
Happy New Year to
you. Go Pats. Kick
go. Yeah, go Pats.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this New Year's Eve edition of Patriots Football Weekly. We'll be back at noon tomorrow with a New Year's Day edition. Full access tomorrow with the players. It's not a holiday here at Gillette Stadium. We'll see you tomorrow.
Son of a bitch.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.